United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, well, where do you get ideas for songs?
I can get them anywhere, even here.
Here? Right here in the commissary? Oh, you must mean songs about food. You know, songs like, I Want to Hold Your Ham. Another One Bites the Crust. That one kills me.
Not if I kill you first.
I'm serious, guys. Watch. Yo, Seymour.
Hmm?
What's on the menu?
Well, we've got swordfish, eggs, and coffee.
Just pancakes, maple syrup, and jam.
Yeah.
I could write a song about that.
Get out of here.
No, really, I can't. I just need a better set.
It was 7:45 we were all night to put the teacher, Miss Kathleen. First was Kevin, then came Lucy. Third in line was me. All of us were ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood in the back of the line, a smile beneath her nose. Her favorite number was 20, and every single day, if you ask her what she had for breakfast, this is what she'd say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and tangerine, a side order of ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you'll understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. And they're singing, all together now. And they're singing,
hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's a Prince Day. I'll probably go to Pharrell Williams before it's over with because there's no sun out here in Northeast Ohio. Jeff's in studio with me today. It's Tuesday. Today is the 5th of August, 2014. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm sitting here hanging out with Prince because, you know, he can sing anything. We got David Horowitz coming on with us talking to us this morning, so please keep it locked and loaded. He'll be here soon, sometime this morning, and I'm looking forward to having him and having a conversation with him. You may know who he is. He's been all over the television scene. He's a great author, and he is an activist for a lot of causes, so it'll be interesting to have him on with us. Even though, again, the number is 347-945-5229. How you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. So I want to know, how is it the Prince can sing a song about breakfast and make it sound right?
Because he's a musical genius.
All musical geniuses can't do that.
Oh, yes, they can.
And actually, I think today is, I think just today, is today David, George Duke's birthday, or is it the day that he passed?
You
don't.
What,
you know what?
I mean,
you know, you know everything else. When I don't want you to know something, you know something. So
birthdays, I don't pay attention to them things.
Why? You pay attention to yours?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you do.
Nope.
Yeah, you do. You missed your birthday. Well, you didn't come out here, so you know.
I missed my birthday.
You missed your birthday here, so we didn't have to get you nothing. He passed away on August 5th.
Yeah.
I knew it was something. Because he's all over Facebook today, and he is missed, so we'll probably throw a little George Duke in there today. So between Prince and George Duke, you'll be it. Hey, again, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Jeff, have you heard?
What was that?
They found they've got this experimental drug for the Ebola.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And people are taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's working.
Well, of course it's working.
So they can cure what they want to cure?
They can cure what they want to cure.
Is that what you're saying? You can cure what you want to cure. You just can't.
Listen.
What?
Listen. Is the drug, is it the, whatchamacallit?
What is a whatchamacallit? You know, you sound like old people.
Yeah, I am old
people. I mean, you'd be like, what is a whatchamacallit?
This is a whatchamacallit.
What?
Is it a thing to prevent you from getting it, or is it one to heal you after you do
it? I think it's one to heal you after you get it, because the people that are coming back from the United coming back from over in Libya from
are getting it.
That have Ebola, who are coming in, they're quarantining them, but they're giving them this drug that has never been tested on anyone except for monkeys. And they tend to be, you know, we're doing all right. They're doing better.
Well, I got to see this because I'm wondering whether they're going to go over to Africa and mass.
Well, they don't have it. It's not prepared. It's still in the petri dish. They're just testing people.
Well, how are they testing you with it?
They only got two.
Well, what I'm saying is they have it. It's burning up in here.
It ain't burning up in here. That thing don't. That's the thing. But you have a hot flash of what?
I don't have hot flash.
You got menopause.
Yeah, I'm in menopause. It's hot in here. Maybe because I'm drinking coffee.
Then don't drink no coffee because it's cold in here.
It ain't cold.
It is cold.
That's your menopause.
No, that's why I have the door open.
And the men all pause when Tracy comes into the room.
No, no, don't even start. Talk so loud. Don't make me shut the door. You know the big station's next door.
Whatever.
You know,
you mean the ones that when they decide to turn there, that we're just
when we start doing what Doug and Marianne do, then we can blow this sucker up. But until then,
there you go.
Until then, we just have to be stuck in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know us. You can't do that until you get stuck in the closet. But when we get to, they even wrote. Why weren't we invited to ride in the Hall of Fame parade?
Because we didn't play football.
The people next door went. And they played country. I don't understand. They didn't invite.
Oh, I don't appreciate that.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't understand. I don't understand some things.
Wait a minute. I got one for you right here.
What?
Look at this one.
You know, the guy wrote a book.
It's for real?
Yeah, and I've been trying to get him on.
Black man and the KKK to fight the border crisis.
No, there's a guy who wrote a book about he infiltrated the KKK. He really did. He got
the color guard is colored.
He put on his mask and infiltrated the KKK. And he wrote a book about it. He was an agent, and I've been trying to get him on, and I haven't been able, with no success. But I'm working on it, guys. I think that'd
I don't
be
believe
great.
That. No kind of way.
It's not hard.
Be too hard.
It wouldn't be
your
hard.
Your hands show.
No, they had gloves.
They had gloves on.
They had gloves. You just don't take off the gloves.
Well.
And he was a dark-skinned man. How's that?
Yeah, he is. If this is him.
I don't know if that's the guy, but I know there's a guy who infiltrated the KKK, and some of that's Photoshop. You know, you never know.
Probably.
And today, you know, remember when your parents told you believe half of what you hear and none of what none of what you hear and half of what you see?
Right.
2014, it's a new cliche. Believe none of what you see and none of what you hear unless you create it yourself.
KKK down in, I believe it is, in the border states are recruiting. No, in South Carolina. They're recruiting. And they're getting, they have this line on, this call-in line.
Ooh.
And they're getting about 10,000 people every month.
I forgot to go down to the Invitational. I forgot about it. I forgot about the golf Invitational. I forgot to prepare for it. I forgot we were in August. Tiger Woods, it looks like he injured his back again. And they say he might be done. He might be through.
Well, he could.
He can't be through because I enjoy watching Tiger. Golf will never be the same.
Golf, yeah, you have to create another Tiger.
I don't want to create another tiger.
Neither do I.
I like the tiger we have.
I do, too.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by his toe.
Yep.
If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I ain't letting that tiger go.
If he hurt his back, his go.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. There was something else I want to tell you that was really important. Why do you have Browns gear on?
Because I'm a Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Why else would somebody have Browns gear on?
I don't know.
I am a Cleveland Browns.
You're not a Cleveland Browns.
Go check the roster. You go see if my name is on that roster.
No.
That's all I got to say.
Not going to do it.
You're not. See, you don't believe me.
You're not on there.
You're going to see. You're going to see me this fall.
I ended your schedule yesterday, and
yeah.
I just like bounced out on you guys yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, you
I
gave
did
me that little. Schedule.
I'll be right back. I said I'll be right back.
Yeah,
and
never
came
never
back.
Showed up. When I'm up there looking, trying
cool.
to look at a Brown schedule, I need a magnifying glass to see.
That's because you don't need to see it.
Now see, look how far away from you that is. Uh-huh.
Preseason.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah, start this weekend.
Starts this weekend. They're going to be playing the Detroit Lions.
Uh-huh. I'll be driving up to Detroit and suiting up.
And I got to go. I got to go see the Washington Redskins because
you know my only job.
What's that?
Is to stand up and stop anybody from getting to the quarterback. That's all.
So on September the 7th,
oh
they're going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Season opener.
Season opener.
And they're going to be playing at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I just want to see what they look like in the preseason before I call it.
Oh, you can't call it until you see what they look
no,
like in the preseason?
I have to, no, you know better than that. You really can't see till after they played five games what's going to happen in the past 10 years.
No, I got to pull it up. Hold on, hold on. Because I got to play the new song for the Browns.
Oh, no. It better not be no craziness.
What do you mean? What do you mean craziness? I got to find a song. H-E-Haw. It's not crazy. I would never do crazy for the Browns because I told you I'm a new Browns fan. I told you that, right?
Yeah, I heard that you were, but I want to make sure. Because, you know, Constantine said he was a Christian, too. That's going too far.
You've been gone too bad.
Yeah, that's gone too far. Okay, I'll leave that alone.
No, you got to. I can't. What's it say? I got to find it. Because, I'm a Browns fan. Listen, I'm a Cleveland fan all the way.
Yeah.
I am.
Well, I'm now a LeBron fan still.
I mean, I was never a fan of. I'm not a fan of LeBron. I'm an admirer of him. I admire him.
I'm a LeBron fan.
I'm not a LeBron fan. I admire LeBron. I admire his business savvy. You know, I'm his basketball. He's great at, but I love to see a man's brain work.
Oh yeah,
I would rather see a man's brain than his brawn.
I understand.
And when you can find a man who thinks, and is and doesn't think and thinks beyond. What's in front of him is just I'm a LeBron admirer.
Well, I'm an admirer of him, but I am a fan.
I think that's why. I mean, it's the same with Jerry. That I love him because he is a thinker. He's not just a player. He's a thinker of the basketball game.
Mm.
Not just a player.
Yeah, I got you.
Even Magic was a he was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Magic was a businessman, but he just put people around him.
Yeah, I got you.
But
I'm looking at this. This man did not go to college, came directly into the NBA, okay, and did well for himself for so many years. Did well for himself for so many years, and then, you know, he made that decision to go and get a ring, and which was a good.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
He wanted to get a double wide.
And that's what he wanted.
And there's something wrong with that. I just didn't like how he did it. I had a problem.
Well, I didn't like how
he wasted my time. And I think that's where I had a problem.
It wasn't him that did it.
Whoever did it, it was bad advice.
It was bad advice.
He wasted my time.
That's the only thing that you can point to that shows that that he did something.
And he never did it again.
He never did it again.
I'm not fault me.
Well, a lot of people
I didn't burn his jersey.
Well, Quinnipiac says that most people in North Carolina have forgiven him.
I didn't forgive him. I had issues how he went about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was not dumb enough to burn the jersey because he's still going to be a great guy. You don't burn greatness.
I'm trying.
But then I collected Barack Obama stuff, and whether you like him or love him,
right?
He was the first.
I'm trying to get my jersey back for my daughter.
It's not going to happen.
You're right.
That's not going to happen.
You know why? Because she got that thing signed by the rapper Little Scrappy as well. He came and signed at her little girlfriend's party. There was a
Little Scrappy.
Yeah, Little Scrappy.
I got to go take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
I want my jersey back.
You're not getting your jersey back. I can tell you that now. Haven't you ever heard, you don't give away anything that you think you might want back?
I never gave it away. It was taken. You know, like OJ stuff? It's just I can't ride up on my daughter with a, you know, flashing no gun.
It's the new Brown song.
Oh, how cute.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
answer, I feel like giving up. Whenever my sunshine turns to rain, whenever my hopes and dreams aim in the wrong direction, she's always there.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Don't forget to download the WSOM app for your phone, your tablet, and your tablet. Or you can check us out at 600WSOM.com. You can go to Tracy and Friends. Tracy has an E, and Friends is plural.com. The website will be up fairly soon in the next week or so. I'm pretty excited about that. You can reach us. You can see us. You can blog on us. You can check us out, and you can find news out there. So it'll be very, very interactive and very, very friendly for you to use. So please mark your bookmarks that you want to check us out. And it's a Prince Day. And so if you guys don't know who Prince is, for those of you who are too old to know who Prince is, you'll find out today. And if you're too young to know who Prince is, you'll find out today. Hey, what else is going on, Jeffrey?
Oh, lots of stuff.
Ain't nothing else going on.
Well,
the president's ratings are going down. Congress's ratings are going down. Somebody sent me something really cute today. I got to go find it. I got to find it. It was really good. It sent me an email with it, and it was really, you know, usually I don't say a whole lot about the emails that I get, but it was really good. So I have to find it and read it to you guys. And Jeff, you would actually appreciate this one. This will make you smile. In my many years, I have come to the conclusion that one useless man is a shame. Two is a law firm, and three or more is Congress. And it was John Adams.
John Adams said that, huh?
That was a quote by John Adams. I thought that was pretty good.
Why did Nancy Pelosi run up on a cat in Congress the other day?
I guess maybe she liked him.
She ran up on him. No, she was trying to get at him.
That's what I said. Maybe she liked him.
No, not like that.
You don't know that.
Listen,
I'm telling you guys, I'm reading this book. You know, people think that these people hate each other. They don't. You know, they go out and drink together, play together. They just fight for the TV cameras. Some of these guys are not, they're not enemies like you would think.
Making huge money with deals on the side.
Absolutely. Think about this. These people, you down here hating on each other one at a time. They just playing the game.
Absolutely.
They shaking hands at the end of the night going, you know, they got the Sam and Ralph syndrome. See you tomorrow, Ralph. Okay, Sam. I mean, serious. I'm serious, Jeff.
The sheepdog and the coyote.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. And let me ask you this. What would happen, and I was watching a cartoon, and it said, what happens the day that the coyote catches the roadrunner? It's not a good thing because the coyote was sitting around and he had nothing else to do. He couldn't work no more. He finally caught the roadrunner. Now, after all these years, he finally catches the roadrunner. What does he do with his spare time?
I don't know. Figure out what he's going to do to make sure he's got more rockets and things to catch him with.
What happens when he kills the Roadrunner? Because remember, he's after the Roadrunner to eat him. So he had one good feast for the last time. So then what else does he do? At least with Sam and Ralph, you know, he's got more sheep to try to catch. I'm serious about this. You're laughing at me. I'm serious. This is some serious stuff because I don't think we understand how this is played in our society when it comes to our politics because that's what it is. It is a Sam and Ralph scenario, and it will never end up with the Roadrunner dead, no matter what you do. What are you typing, Jeffrey? You're doing something on Facebook. I know
yeah,
you are.
But I'm listening to you.
You ain't
Sam
saying nothing.
Ralph. What am I going to say to Sam
I don't know
Ralph.
What you're going to say. You just what? Ain't nobody in there.
Nobody's in there.
So what?
I thought
what are you just sitting over there in a brown shirt doing something else in somebody else's room?
Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
You ain't trying to tell me, Jack. You sitting over there typing.
You, yep.
Type
it. And talk at
you
the same time.
You cannot type and talk at the same time.
I can't talk, eat, and type at the same time. I had a mouthful of food, if you want to know. So now you're going to see me talk right now.
I don't want to see you talk.
Now you know. See, that you do. You want me to talk. You
I don't want
me
to talk.
Sing.
No, I don't want to
I
sing.
I
want to
sing.
No.
A lot of
no,
and
no,
a
no, no, no,
and
no, 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 no.
You know that country?
Hey, listen. No. Did you guys? Did you hear the president is having a summit today in Africa with African business people?
Is it in Africa or here? I think it's here.
Is it here?
Uh-huh.
With African leadership, is the first time that a sitting president has ever sat down with the leadership of people from Africa.
Well, that's a good thing.
And
but all it's saying is we better get in here while because the Chinese and the Russians are already there doing big things, building bridges and putting in roads, et cetera, et cetera. See, so he's got to make a move. But the thing is what is he doing with the people?
What people?
The United States.
It ain't none of your business, you know.
Why ain't it my business?
Because he got y'all on lockdown. Y'all just
Detroit
right there. You stay right there.
That's exactly where he got.
So don't worry about what he's doing.
So, yeah.
Well, he get ready to go on vacation. Isn't he going on vacation?
He's always going on vacation. You know he's going to take at least 3 months.
The United States is hosting the first African Leaders Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about it. He got this.
I knew it was here.
He got this.
And he was saying it was going to go on no matter what.
Right. So why are you tripping?
I'm good with it. I'm good. I think we should have naturalized things over there a long time ago.
You can't naturalize
them. That's why
you corrupt.
You know that's why you got the Ebola thing happening right now, right?
Why?
Because he has to one-up Bush. Because Bush almost eradicated AIDS in a certain part of Africa. And so now Obama has to...
So they're going to create something and then try to cure it?
Everything you can do, I can do better.
No,
I can do anything better.
Listen.
No, you can. Yes,
no,
I can.
No,
no,
I don't think. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. I think this is a. I don't know. The president is on his own agenda. I don't think.
Yes.
I don't think.
But he has to trump Bush so that
he can't
all
trump
the
Bush.
Democrats don't lose.
You can't. There's no way. There's nothing that he can do right now. To save the Senate, right now the Senate is what? What can helping Africa? Helping Africa will not save the Senate.
Mm-mm.
It won't even give him good numbers.
True.
Nothing that he does right now, it outside of a miracle. Now the flooding that's going on over in the West Coast and the cars going down the street.
Yeah.
There he or you know some of this the natural disaster he might be able to get some points.
You think they're causing it?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Seeding the clouds over there so it rains.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be the fires out in California, the climate change. I wouldn't be surprised by a lot of things that America does.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
I got you.
I believe HAARP is real.
Oh yeah, HAARP is real.
I believe that they are really trying to create an insight riot, or insight different things.
What they need to do is they have to incite the Republicans to try to impeach the president.
And
before October,
November. Right. They need
yeah.
that conversation to come out of
yeah.
Republicans' mouths,
yeah.
and that's why you hear the Democrats always talking right
yeah.
now. And you don't hear
they're
any Republicans right. You don't hear any Republicans talking about impeachment.
No.
You only hear the Dems talking about it. They need for it to be seated in the minds of the conservative party so that they can try to keep the Senate.
Don't be fooled, people.
Don't be fooled.
Right.
The president's birthday's today. What, Jeffrey? I'm just trying to make a conversation.
If ever there was, I'll leave that alone.
No,
because
before I get too far, you know what I want to talk about today?
Wait,
I want to talk about Ohio State and the band. And the band played on.
I'm going to march in my underwear.
We got to talk about Ohio State and the band.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess they fired the band leader because the band students because
he allowed
he didn't allow it. It's been going on for years.
Yeah, so
he said he didn't. He was on Today Show this morning. He said that he's been trying to eradicate it because he knew what was going on because he was a former OSU band member and he remembered what they did to him.
Oh, okay.
It's been going on since the 30s. This is not new.
So he was bullied.
So he was bullied. So this is and he probably bullied others. So this is not new.
Well, here it is. I'll say it again. They never should have fired the man. That man had them boys. Did you see the things that they've done, they did, and how perfectly they aligned? And
it's the best band in the land.
The best band in the land, for real. Nobody did this. So, they had a Michael Jackson moonwalking. What the heck? Come on.
But now listen,
how do you do this?
This precision.
What I'm saying.
Precision.
How do you do that?
And trust me, somebody else is going to pick him up. But this is my issue. This is my issue with it. In a sexualized nation, as we are in America right now,
mm-hmm.
why are we so surprised when it's manifesting on our college campuses when you've got it everywhere?
Oh, yeah, we're surprised. And not only that, we're going after people and taking their jobs because they didn't stamp it out right away. It's crazy.
Hey, I hear there's a 72-hour ceasefire.
Right.
Okay. Good morning, Eric.
What's that? Hey, Eric, what's going on, buddy? That ain't going to happen.
What do you mean it ain't going to happen?
It ain't going to happen.
It is going to happen. They said they're going to time out.
Watch this. As soon as they bury the first body and they roll more mortar-firing equipment into school areas and people's apartment buildings and fire them off from there, so when Israel blows up the building, you got the president and everybody saying, "Hey, we condemn this action." Shut up.
Jeffrey. They said it's a 72-hour ceasefire humanitarian effort to try to pull out the wounded, I guess because they blew up some stuff that's really tight. And
the ceasefire only applies to Israel.
Oh, the other
right.
side. Well, the other side doesn't have to cease the fire.
No.
Oh, well, no. That's how the cookie crumbles. Mm. How you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing well. How you all doing?
I'm doing good. What's good? What's new? What's
not
what's
much. Like you said, it's just cloudy out here and warm.
Man, where is the sun?
No
here
idea.
Comes the sun.
Where is the sun?
Little darling.
I played that Monday. Where's the sun? What
you
happened?
Played that Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm happy, though. It's just it's the best time of the year. Football season's back, so
yeah,
it's a win-win for me.
Are you a Brown fan, too?
Die hard.
See?
And my neighbor's a diehard Steelers fan. And
your
I'm a diehard Ohio State fan, and he's a diehard Michigan fan. So it's on and popping over here.
Oh, it's on and popping. Whoa. If it weren't for the Pittsburgh Squealers. I like the dog.
I figured I'd redecorate my house.
It's the new Brown song.
And I don't have control of the thing, man. I can't do nothing about it.
This is the new Brown song.
Tracy got all the controls over there, and got a barbed wire up here. I can't even reach across to change it to something else.
This is the new Brown. I can't help it. It's the new Brown song.
Oh,
it's the Browns and the Dems. Oh, hey, did you guys see the new Gallup? I think it was Gallup poll about the lack of spiritual. Let me try to get this right. The Democrat Party has less spiritual people that are religious believers versus the Republican Party. They're more godless in their nature. But there was actually
Well, that's because they're not thinking about or trying to be any kind of way because they're trying to supposedly say we have a big tent and they don't have any standards on purpose.
But my question is, mm-hmm. they said that they had less religious people in the Democrat Party. They were a less religious
yes.
group of people.
Yeah.
But you have all your black people there.
Yeah, but they don't make up enough to be spiritual. You know,
they don't make
enough.
What?
They don't make
enough to do what? I'm taking
a break.
I'll be right back.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. Prosecutors decided if any charges would be filed after bullets fired by someone who was target shooting struck two mobile homes. Police say two trailers were struck at the Camelot Mobile Home Park on Main Street Saturday afternoon. The first trailer struck was occupied by a woman and her five children ranging in age from 1 to 7 years old. The bullet passed through that trailer and struck a second occupied trailer across the driveway. No one was injured. The chances of a similar algae bloom like the one in Toledo shutting down the valley's drinking water supply are considered remote. Early detection is likely what prevented any widespread illness in Toledo. Water supplies like Aqua Ohio, which serves thousands of customers in the valley and statewide, have a source water protection plan, which is endorsed by the Environmental Protection Agency. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Shopaholics and people who hate shopping have one thing in common. Neither likes to shop for insurance. At Grange Insurance, we get that. That's why we recommend buying through independent agents.
Let Crab Insurance Agency do the shopping for you. Crab Insurance will look at a variety of insurance companies and recommend only the best ones. Companies like Grange. Call the Crab Insurance Agency in Salem at 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
This is Derek Hart, General Manager of Staff Right Services. We excel in providing recruitment and placement for a wide range of skilled job candidates on a temporary, temp-to-hire, or direct-hire basis. When businesses need assistance finding reliable employees or individuals need help finding a steady job, they turn to us. To learn more about how StaffRight can help you, visit us online at staffrightservices.com.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is an open mic, and we'll just do what you want to do. I've got a guest coming in at 10:30, so David Horowitz will be with us. And so until then, we'll just have a conversation about whatever comes up. It'll just come out. We just ask people to be respectful. Brown has been banned, and I don't think he'll be back. I don't play with what we do. And respect is the key, and it's going to have to be that way, and so it is what it is. So I will apologize for whatever happened on yesterday when I stepped out of here. I only went to take care of a little business. Jeez, oh, man. But until that time, now we know.
Yeah, I heard that.
He
blindsided us. We're talking about minimum wage and how it affects society. And people have to think about raising all wages to a minimum. And that's what's crazy.
See, this is the issue. You can't get a wage that you don't earn. Let's really understand
that you're not producing it.
And we have. I was in the. I was in Walgreens yesterday, and the young lady was. I was over at the photo shop, and I guess on Walgreens they have 10-cent Mondays for photos. All photos are 10 cent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just needed to have a disc made because I didn't have any blank discs. Because you know, as we go, as we transition technically to a non-hardware. A society,
mm-hmm.
everything is done either electronically, you know, but there's no hardware that's hard lines that are actually executed. So we don't have, mm-hmm. CDs are no longer used a lot. We use a flash drive maybe, but we send everything via email, Facebook, or something else. So I had to get a CD made of some pictures that I had done over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, in Walgreens, and I was trying to get a disc made, and so I took my camera in, and I took my memory card out, and I put it inside the little kiosk thing and said I wanted to make a disc, and then she told me I had to wait about 20 minutes. Well, I don't have a whole lot of time. I didn't want to wait 20 minutes. I wanted that thing to burn like I do at home and then go out the door. But there was another young lady there, and she had her phone, and I guess she wanted her pictures off of her phone. Well, Walgreens has a procedure and or a policy that they will not touch anyone else's phone.
Okay.
The employees are not to touch anyone else's phone because if something happens to the phone in their employee, they don't want to be responsible for the other person's phone, and they don't, and the employee won't touch it because if they do, then they're the person responsible for someone else's phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just there as a almost like wall dressing to take your money. Seriously, you can't get no information out of a whole lot. It's not like they're not the photo gurus. They're not photographers anymore. They are no longer photo geniuses and all that kind of stuff. They got buttons that they push and things happen. So the young lady was cussing the lady out because the lady couldn't answer her question the way that she wanted them answered because they couldn't get it done. I mean, it just was not
possible.
And she didn't know what she had to work her phone. She didn't know about her SIM card. She didn't know how to get her memory card out of her phone. She didn't know anything. And this lady was upset because this other young lady who worked there couldn't help her out. And it had a major – and she was just ghettoized. And I want to say this. And she was not African-American.
Oh, really?
No. But he was talking in every other language you can think of, but she was not black. And I said, wow, you know, just either you can figure this out. And then if not, ask the people that are around you. I was standing there. She saw me going there, and the time that she was sitting there cussing, I had plugged it in, plugged it out, and walked out the door. And she was, and I said, wow, this is really something different. And you want to go get a job. You want to get more than what you have. And I said, look at the entitlement society that says, I can't help myself, even if it's something that's luxurious for what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to do it for me, and I'm not willing to take the time to figure it out.
Right.
I'm not willing to. The lady said, well, listen, take your card out and just put it in. She was not willing to go through the process. She wanted someone else to do it for her.
Yeah. Well,
but they want to make more money. And I said, can you? I just could not believe the mentality that people had there.
Oh.
And it was like, we got to cut this out. This is not good.
It's like the stick there yesterday. Saying. I mean, if you got like a barber shop, why would you pay some kid to come in and sweep the floor up for minimum wage at $8 an hour when you can hire one of those Roomba robots and they can do it for you?
Yep.
Well, I'm with Sticks on that.
Absolutely.
That makes
well,
sense.
That's what made Brown call me an a-hole because I said, look, when you do this, when you make this situation up, you falsely raise labor costs, and the small businesses cannot compete, and they go out of business. It's a statistical fact.
Why would I pay you $15 for a kid 15 years old to come in and drop laundry into a washing machine and sweep up the floor at the barbershop?
That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The kid is learning how to work. He's coming in. Just like I told him, my daughter works minimum wage right now. I go pick her up from work, or she takes my car or whatever it is. She goes back and forth. And, boom, we're sitting up there. And she's putting money in her bank account to go back to school with.
Well, that's what she should be doing.
That's what she's doing. Should be doing.
That's what she should be
not
doing.
Not trying to live on what the money that she's out there working on, working for. This is not live on a job that she works.
Well, but the issue is we have undereducated the society so much that
yeah,
they can't do anything.
This is true.
But, and let me say it this way. And at one time, you didn't have to have an education. You could walk out. You could be totally illiterate and walk into a job
mm-hmm.
and make it. But in 2014, I was telling a young lady the other day, she told me she was looking for a position. And I told her that the steel mills that are around today,
mm-hmm.
you have to have some type of knowledge base. You cannot walk into a steel mill anymore and just make it.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't.
No.
I mean, you have to have some kind of computer, some kind of knowledge base. It's just not there's no more just walk off and just
absolutely.
Do. You can't do that. You almost can't do an assembly line job. And with automation the way that it is, the people that used to push the carts,
mm-hmm.
the carts are robots now. You
mm-hmm.
talk about Roomba.
Right.
That you want to see what Roomba does in a manufacturing plant.
Oh, yeah, I got you. So, you know, but here it is. You have to watch what's going on in the society and then see that they're trying to create that society now that no matter what job you go get, you can make $12, $15 an hour, which is not going to work. You don't have anything being built anymore. And you're killing the ability for people to create businesses that manufacture anymore because their energy costs are sky high. Now, you're trying to stop people from using electricity.
Speaking of which, did you anybody see that new gas bill?
Uh-uh.
Y'all need to look how much gas went up.
Oh, I don't have gas. I don't know why gas would go up. But
natural gas.
Yes,
but go ahead.
Shouldn't be going
yes,
up.
Yes, it would.
But yeah, well, you know, here it is. When you have the Kenyan job cancer out, you know, that's what's going on. You're eating up your cash with this foolish notion that we're creating global warming. But all it is a $1 trillion industry that they want to make sure is in place because that gives them control over the people as well. You should have seen this documentary I saw. They were making it positive that they took these rice farmers over in Indonesia. They took them out, you know, their little motors. They had these little lawnmower motors that were pushing their water, pumping their water out onto their rice fields. They took them, gave them these little bikes, right? But then because they stopped using their carbon, they could go and they could buy something at the store. I can't remember what it was. But they had to now sit on their bike and pump their water into their rice field.
Wow.
Now, what kind of craziness is that?
Go ahead, 267, your mic is on. Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like in terms of the minimum wage and fast food workers, I think a lot of them, they don't have very good job skills as well. They don't have the different types of social skills they would need if they tried to go into a corporate office, meaning that the customer service is so bad at many of these fast food restaurants and the quality of the food has gone down in a very dramatic way. And I think the restaurant management is not doing a good job in terms of their ability to try to to make their workers better in terms of their customer service types of relations with the customers. And many of these kids, if they left McDonald's and they tried to go into a company and be an intern, they would have a very hard time. And the main reason why is probably because they don't have good customer service skills.
But you have to see, this is the issue. I need for you to come to work with an attitude to learn. Because going back to what I think I said last week or week before last, every company is looking for its environment.
Right.
And if you have an environment that I want it to be conducive to what I'm looking for, every company has one. And if you're not willing to work within the environment in which I have created, then you can't come work for me. And what's happening is people don't come to work with a willingness to adapt and to assimilate to the environment which they're walking into. You see, you can't walk into a conservative company and try to make it radical. And that's what they try to do. That you can't walk in, you can't walk into a liberal company and try to make it conservative.
Right.
If everybody in the company is gay, you can't come in there talking about, I'm going to preach to you every day. It's not going to work, so don't do it. And you can't go into a conservative church who doesn't believe in same-sex marriage and try to change their climate. That's not what they're there for. And what's happening is we're trying to go into areas that do not belong to us and change it to what we want it to be. And that's not what it's supposed to happen. That's not how it works. You sign on to come and work for me, which means you wear the uniforms that I tell you to wear. You come to work the hours I tell you to come to work, and you do what I tell you to do. You don't come into my workplace and try to change it into your environment.
Yeah, I think that's the whole problem, is that they don't have the social skills, and they're not coached that when they're at these fast food places, they're not told in terms of how to behave around customers, how to talk to people properly. And if they went into a conservative company and they tried to be an intern, they would have a hard time in terms of their ability to adjust to the environment.
But they don't want to. See, that's just it. Even if you try to teach them, try to tell them, try to lead them, they don't want to assimilate. You know, I was in a place this not too long ago, and we have not taught our young people that if everybody in the place has on a T-shirt, you don't come to work in a tank top. Seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
And we need to teach our own young people how to walk into a workplace so that they can get the job done.
Get a job.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. American deaths today in Afghanistan, an attack on a military base. Details from ABC, Scott Goldberg.
The attack happened at Camp Karga, a military base west of the capital city, Kabul. A man wearing an Afghan army uniform reportedly opened fire on international troops, and several Americans are believed to have been killed. This comes after a big drop last year in these so-called green-on-blue attacks, although violence against foreigners has been picking up as the U.S.-led coalition prepares to leave Afghanistan at the end of the year.
An official says the shooter at that base has been killed. A second American healthcare worker is being flown to the U.S. today from West Africa after becoming infected with Ebola. Nancy Reitball is on her way to Atlanta.
Her condition, as well as the condition of the first patient here, who is from Tennessee, is improving. both of these patients received an experimental drug that we're not getting many details about, and the drug appears to be working. We're told by aid workers that Dr. Brantley, that first patient, improved dramatically after receiving this experimental drug. He was able to walk into the hospital on Saturday, and this is a doctor who health officials say was near death.
ABC's Steve Osunsami in Atlanta. More than a dozen wildfires are burning in bone-dry California and Oregon. It's a very busy time for firefighters.
I've been doing this for 20 years, and that's the most fire I've ever seen.
Randy Garner is a volunteer fire chief near Castle, California. That fire destroyed at least eight homes. A pause in Israel's bombardment of Gaza. ABC's Terry Moran is there. He says the ceasefire is holding so far.
So much of Gaza is rubble now. There's been so much death and destruction and despair. And yet, the minute the ceasefire took hold, you saw people pouring into the port, fishermen getting on their boats, kids back on the beach.
This is ABC News.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
A first for the White House, President Obama inviting an entire continent to Washington. Details from ABC's Ann Compton.
At the summit with 51 African leaders, President Obama is bringing U.S. business executives in hopes that economic development will increase political stability in Africa. Here at the White House, Chef Chris Comerford is preparing tonight's state dinner menu of American favorites like Texas steak with a twist.
We also want to, like, incorporate nuances of different flavors and spices from Africa, like Madagascar vanilla, saffron.
400 dinner guests invited. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Police in Britain say they've arrested a man on suspicion of making a hoax bomb threat. The arrest made this morning after a Qatar Airways flight landed with a military fighter escort at Britain's Manchester airport. 269 people on board that plane. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Since 1936, App's goal has been your complete satisfaction and has become the nation's number one destination for electronics and appliances for free delivery on thousands of items. Visit abt.com. App, pleasing people since 1936.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios, Ford F-150 has the muscle and mileage to get the job done. Get yours during summer spectacular sales events. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle. And we stand out from the competition. At InfoCision, we value your hard work and reward you for it.
Get up there.
Earn competitive wages, weekly pay and bonus, excellent benefits, and an opportunity for advancement.
Oh,
all with an
mine.
Impressive fitness center and doctor's office on site.
Yours will be
InfoCision is now hiring call center professionals at all three locations in the area. A local company committed to keeping jobs in America. Learn more about the openings for full and part-time call center positions and our impressive benefits package by calling 1-800-210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com. Once again, call 800-210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com.
Hey, this is Kix Brooks asking you to take a little trip to Kidda Country. We've teamed up with Kidda, a leading manufacturer of smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms, to try and help keep folks safe and sound. KiddaCountry.com is a place for fun and helpful content, stories about firefighters, other safety heroes. So get the info you need on keeping your family a little safer over at KiddaCountry.com. That is KIDDECountry.com.
America's best talk. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-5-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hope you're having a good day today. Today is the 5th of August, 2014, and it's 7 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I got Jeff and I here in studio. I got David Horowitz coming on with us at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to bounce out of here in a minute, run across the room, make sure I got my book here. But until then, you're stuck with me and Jeff. And you're listening to Tom Petty and Prince with Steve Winwood and Jeff Lynn. And while my guitar gently weeps, and that lead guitar that you hear is a note. If you don't know who he is, you need to know his name is Prince. There's just something about him. And I tell you what made me think about him. Prince was 1999 or When Doves Cry. What was the name of the movie?
Under the Something Moon.
No, not that one. No, his first one.
Purple Rain.
It was on last night.
Wait a minute. Our friend is just gone to the and been made a member of the Ohio Players, Rick Ward.
Really? I saw Ricky getting on the bus. But what's he doing?
He is now an official Ohio player.
Get out.
Yep. So Billy got him on.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, when they come
awesome.
To town? Why can't we get them to town?
We can try to get them into town. But we gotta work with these folk downtown first to see what we can get done. But
you know what? Let me say this before you go. Write your thought down.
Mm-hmm.
We need to quit allowing our people who are elected to be inept, where they can't make a decision and can't get nothing done. From the school board all the way up to Congress. You want to know what's wrong with your country, what's wrong with the people? You elect people who can't chew gum, walk, and drink pop at the same time, and you wonder why nothing is done. What were you saying?
Okay, now, anyway, at Jazz in the Park, Youngstown, the oldest African-American-oriented music festival in Youngstown, somebody that you know runs that thing, Tracy. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
Anyway, Rick Ward came on and did Maggot Brain by the Funkadelics.
Ooh.
Now, Maggot Brain, for all you guys, is just like somebody playing the guitar solo in Hotel California, okay? That's what it is to the black community, black R&B community. That's how
actually the Maggot Brain crosses all over.
It sure does. If you like guitar playing,
yeah.
And then he turned around and did Purple Rain, and wrecked it down there. I mean,
I didn't know Rick Ward. I didn't know.
Rick is bad boy now.
You know, I just know Rick. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, but we played in the band since 70, 75.
That's how I know y'all old.
Yeah, well, whatever. It don't make no difference.
Y'all old.
We still
y'all
doing
old.
What we do.
Y'all just do what you
and
do.
And we make it do
as,
what it do.
As James, what's his name? I think his name is Ray Charles.
Uh-huh.
We do what we do. You know, we just do what we do.
We just
do what we do. Good morning, Diva. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Sorry, I had my phone on mute. I'm driving.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm on my way to church. We're having a conference.
Well, good.
I get up. I went last night. I'm saying, okay, I get up this morning. Normally, I don't really get up this morning out the house, but God be the glory. My house on my way to church. But, I wanted to say that, Jeff, I commend you on being a great father, that your daughter is working, walking in college, and she's able to just focus her money on things that she needs to follow. But there are a lot of kids out here who are in college or even in high school who don't have that opportunity. I know when I was in high school, yes, my mom made some bad choices when she was younger, but my mom was making minimum wage. And we had to work to assist with the things that we needed. Well, because all of her money went towards the bills, you know, we needed clothes, we needed stuff. So me and my sisters got jobs to take that burden off her so that we can get the things that we need. Now, when I got to college, so actually I wasn't even going to go to college because I didn't know how it was going to work. And at that time, I was basically on my own. I was paying rent. I was paying food. I didn't know how I was going to go to college and work. And I had a boss when I was working at a fast food restaurant who didn't care. Well, you wealthy, you don't need to go to college if you can't afford it. That company was bought out by another company. I had another boss who did actually take a liking to me, saw that I was very intelligent, saw that I was more than just a crew member on their line. So he and I told him my situation, because he's like, why aren't you in college? And I told him my situation, promotion. I got promoted to shift supervisor where I can make more and I can go to college. But even still, whatever money I made still went towards my bills. I didn't have a parent and I was working at fast food. I didn't have a parent to help me take care of everything I need. And then with the economy tanking in 2008, 2009, you have so many people losing good jobs that they have no choice but to go into these low-wage jobs.
Dave, I have a question for you.
Yes.
See, this is where we get it wrong. One, we should have been working all the way through school, whether it be around the house, whether it be at our next-door neighbors, whether it be in our neighborhood. We should have been hustling all through our life. We should have been volunteering, and we should have been learning how to multitask. Our parents, I think it's wonderful that you were trying to help your mom out. But if your mom, 18 years older than you, when you turn 18 yourself, when you turn 18 and you start going to college, just like they tell you inside of the the airport, it's time for me to put the oxygen mask on myself so that I can come back and help you. You can't. I'm serious about this. You can't help your mama if you can't help yourself.
Diva.
And going to college and working is a novel idea, and most people across the country, that's what they do for their education. Very, very, very few people just get to go to college and just kick it from sun up to sundown. Even if their parents are helping them, they should be working something. Everybody should be producing. The problem that we have with our society today is we believe that somebody else should take care of us while we get what we're going to get. And that's not how the cookie crumbles, and that's not how it works. Uh-huh. And our parents need to quit putting pressure on their children to help them with their home life.
Absolutely. Check this out, Trace. I went to school and was working as an educational aide while I was going to college. For me, it was very difficult to do. So I did one thing. I dropped out and went to the service. And while I was in the service, I was able to work right along and get my, school, go to school and be in the service. It's a different situation. You know, I got the college credit for what I was in as well as what I wanted to go for, and that's how I got through some things. But you have to understand, I had to go do something. I went to the service. Now, everybody's not going to choose to do that or make that a thing, but the thing is this is the land of opportunity, not the land of equal outcomes, and that's what the left is trying to make it. In other words, they want a socialistic
society,
even communistic society, so that everybody gets the same. No, when you get everybody gets the same, nobody has any impetus to do anything special because you're not going to make any more if you do.
That's why this was a brilliant idea. That's why Russia is the way it is.
Hold on, D-Lo. What'd you say, Eric?
That's why Russia is the way it is. It's a boring country with no entrepreneurial spirit, and they don't create anything. They just steal stuff from other people.
Well, it's starting to change now because a lot of the businesses are becoming privatized.
When they started employing tactics of our society, that's when they started coming out. Same with China.
Diva, and don't get me wrong, I applaud your intent to help family out. But it is not the job of the child, where the child is still trying to grow, to take on the responsibility of the family.
It's not the job of the child, but the fact of the reality is that there are children who are put in that position.
And what I'm saying is we need, as a society, as people who are speaking up, we need to start telling the good, hard truth, telling kids, come out from among them and be ye separate. Become independent.
Right.
Stand on your own two feet. And then go, after you get to where you're going, then go back and help out your parents. But you can't help out your parents. Two sinking ships cannot help one another.
But one
you
thing...
Okay, but the thing is that you're not understanding, Tracy, is that it wasn't about me just using my money just to help my mother. That was a need. That was something that was needed. If I needed school clothes, I was responsible for my own school clothes. If I needed school supplies, if I needed to get my hair done or whatever, I was responsible for that because my mom, all she provided was room and board, basically. That's where her money went. Why? Because, yes, she messed up. She dropped, she had kids early. So she had to drop out of school, and she was making minimum wage. So all she could do was provide us with a home and food. She couldn't do anything more than that with her wages. So we were responsible for everything else. And that's the true and reality of everybody.
But Diva, listen to what I'm saying. Let me say this again. We have a paradigm, which means pattern, which is killing us about what we need and what we have to have. And we are going to have to change the paradigm of how we think. Because the necessities of life that we have to – let me finish. I'm very, very serious about this.
Yeah.
The necessities of life and the transparency of life and the things that we need and have to have are not always necessities. See, if you got three pairs of pants and three shirts and a pair of tennis shoes and some clean underwear, if you got to wash it out every night to get to your expected end, and let me hold on, Philadelphia, we need to be able to do that, and we need to sacrifice the immediate for the future. And we have, what happens in our own methodology, in our own mind, if you look around our houses, we have more money that we don't use, that we spent, than money that we've invested in our future. So we have immediate results. Let me finish, Diva. So instead of us having we've got CD collections, we've got you know, widescreen TV, even if it's rent to own, we've got stuff, instead of waiting for us to get it, we go get it and pay more for it. We have more clothes than our closets are bigger than our rooms now. We got clothes everywhere instead of washing them out by hand with some Tide soap every evening. We don't do that. We don't teach that.
Have you ever tried doing that? Have you ever tried going to school as a child with just three pairs of the same clothes and one shirt?
Yeah, Diva, sweetie, honey, listen. My friends, they got best dressed. I got clothes three times a year. I got school clothes, summer clothes, and church clothes, and they were never to be commingled.
Okay, but have you had
And on picture day, I can wear my church clothes to school that day for the picture.
But never again,
until the next picture came. Let me finish, Diva. So don't tell. See, let me. And what I said was, I know what you're saying. But even with our uniform, I'm saying is we have a bad spending paradigm that is killing our society. Yes, we say we need them, but in actuality, they're not a necessity, and all of us have the problem.
You need a place to live. You need gas. You need electric. You need water. You need food. So if that's all that your money is going to on minimum wage, you don't have anything
that's not why minimum wage was put in place.
Yeah. Hello.
That's the craziness. Hold on, Philly.
Hold on, Philly.
We'll get you in there.
I promise.
Get you in there. But this minimum wage is not a wage to be living on. And if you're living on minimum wage, you messed up somewhere, or you voting for the wrong people. Because guess what? They're going to make sure that you can't afford a doggone thing on minimum wage because your electricity costs are going sky high, gas is going sky high on purpose because your boy said. For my energy plan to work, your energy cost must needs skyrocket. So now, but you're all happy and celebrating, and he's killing you, and you still don't know it.
And let me say this, and Diva, I understand what you're saying, but there are many ways to slice the cat that we're not dealing with.
Slice the cat.
We can get this done better, and we're not doing it, we're not teaching it. Listen. Diva, I know you don't agree with it, but I'm telling you it can be done. And what I'm saying is we do not sacrifice the today for the tomorrow. So when it comes to education, we have it. And in today's society, we are going to have to, because if we don't change our pattern, we will be non-existent.
That's what you thought about. You think people don't make sacrifices. But they do make sacrifices. I asked you one question. I said, did you have to wear the same three pairs of pants and the same two shirts to school every day of the school year?
Almost,
It's one thing, because you got bought clothes three times a year. Yeah, when I was younger, we only got bought clothes once a year, which was school time, and you had to make it work, and you couldn't destroy it. And that's how
Diva, I got pictures of me looking. My mama dressed me crazy. I had hand-me-downs. And when the pants got too short, they put ruffles around the bottom to extend them.
So your parents were making them all right?
Don't laugh. Don't trip.
from my brother.
I ain't got no cousins.
Me and my cousins, we had to close down to each other. You have to understand.
Were your parents living on minimum wage? Or they were working
Hold on, Diva. I'm going to bring you in. Diva, hold on, listen. Sweetheart, they weren't living on minimum wage, but they were living as though they were living on minimum wage.
That's right.
Because they always had money saved. Right now, we live on minimum wage. We still spending money, and we still don't have no money saved. Because it's not what you make, it's what you do with what you make. And until we start learning how to handle that and using money as a tool and all instead of using it as a commodity, we will always be on the wrong side of the fence.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've known of people going to many of the historically black colleges like Howard and Morehouse and Spelman, and I've heard of stories where, you know, you have students who come from families where they haven't had anybody in their family to attend college. In fact, in some instances, they have a parent that might have been on drugs or might be in jail. When they first get to college, they can't afford everything. In some cases, I've heard of students have to sleep in inside their car because they couldn't afford to actually pay for the room and board. Most of the students get some type of financial aid if they go to the historically black colleges as well. But the main difference between the African-American students and students who may be Asian or of some other type of ethnic group, the students of other ethnic groups, they have more of a goal-oriented program their freshman year. They know exactly, in terms of their career track, what they want to do. Those students also have to work. They have to work at places like Pizza Hut, Burger King, McDonald's, at the same time that they're going to school to help to pay for their expenses. But like I said, they have more of a career track from the first time they enter school, and they tend to major in the very hard subjects as well, meaning they major in things like math and engineering and so forth, whereas the African-American students, they tend to shy away from those subjects because they feel that they can't make the grade to actually stay in those majors. So that's the main difference that you find. But majority of the people that attend college today have to get some type of financial aid. They have to have some type of part-time job at the same time that they're going to college.
Right.
And that's basically true across the board.
And that's what's going on. Like I was trying to tell the story of my daughter.
Yeah.
She's getting, first of all, she earned two-thirds of her tuition by her academics and her talent. And then that leaves a third, and then, you know, you're paying for some, and then you're using student loans for the rest. So
right.
you got to do what you got to do.
And you got to look at the money is, too.
So
I mean,
I will beat you guys a
do. We love you too, Diva. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Trace.
Praise him for me.
You know that Kent State has a College of Health and Human Services?
Wow. No.
Yes. I'm like, poverty is big. I didn't realize that poverty is that big a business, that they're putting people to school. They have a division.
Oh,
in
yeah. Why do you think the Democrats buy and sell poor people?
Because I was getting my daughter ready for class the other day, and sure enough, I was like, "What?"
Yeah. They buy and sell poor people, and primarily the black people because they can, and they make tons of money off of it.
And let me say this, and I've got to take my break really quick. I don't think you really understand the commodity and the value you have. And if you do not understand the value that you have, people will always abuse you. And we are $1 trillion in spending power, yet we manufacture and own nothing. And until we understand our value, the same thing goes with our vote. We do not know how to harness our vote for power, and we wonder why we're at the bottom of the list. We don't understand the power that we have. We don't understand that in 2014, if we were smart, we would make people dance. But we don't know how to make them dance because we don't know that we have power. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, is that Michigan?
No, I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, hi. Hello. I would only correct for one thing.
But yeah, this is Eric Warren, and I'm serious. I know I was getting my daughter signed up for college classes this fall.
Yeah.
And Kent State University has a College of Health and Human Services. I couldn't believe that.
But that's nothing new. Because 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they called it social work you went into. Well, social work, the only people hiring social work was government paid for jobs.
Exactly. Yeah, they've been having that for a long time.
For a construction company with a social worker's degree. They've been doing this right along. Now they changed the name to keep up with the times so the kids could read and understand, oh, this is where I'm going, yeah.
Yeah, because I went to the same university 25 years ago, and they didn't have that scholarship. That's
right.
Why I was just pretty crazy when I took her up there, and we got sacked up.
Right.
Here it is.
Oh, listen, guys. I mean, I'm in a doctoral program now, and it's not called Health and Human Services. It's called it's a Human Services degree. They have a bachelor's, master's, and at the doctoral level, so it's there. It's been there for quite a time now.
Yeah, and why don't
Hello?
You have degrees like human resources, and so that you can realize what it's like to work for a company and have employees to take care of and everything else, and meet all the laws and regulations that are required there, instead of the rules of how you dole out taxpayer money. They ought to be teaching these kids how do you keep good employees. And keep it within the budget of a company so it stays profitable, keeps growing, and doesn't go broke trying to take care of employees. You know, Tracy's got to stop doing something here. I just realized she did this, this is from a white perspective. She's got to stop beating up on black people and discouraging them. When she gives this crap that you're $1 trillion of our economy and you own and nothing and manufacture nothing, that is not true. Maybe there's a disproportionate smaller amount of that number that the black folks manufacture and own and control.
Remember, Charlie Staples
barbecue
zero.
Sauce.
A pool couple of. Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Michael Savage.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And as I told you earlier, we've got a guest with us this morning. His name is David Horowitz, and if you haven't heard about him, you'll know who he is in a few minutes. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Tracy.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's good to have you with us. Thank you so much for acknowledging and coming on with us.
Thank you. My new book is called Take No Prisoners, Battle Plan for Defeating the Left. Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a game plan until you punch them in the mouth. The Democrats have a massive punch in the mouth for Republicans. every election, every week, every day, every time they open their mouths, they're accusing Republicans of being racists, sexists, homophobes, and enemies of the poor. That's a moral indictment, and Republicans so far have no answer, and they have no counterpunch. There's no punch back whatsoever. What I am advising Republicans is that the way to neutralize these attacks and punch back is to start talking reality about the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is a racist party. It's the party that has, the Civil Rights Acts of the 60s eliminated racial categories from government laws and regulations. The Democrats have spent the last 50 years reintroducing racial categories into American life. Democrats control every inner city of any size in America, Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, St. Louis. They have their boot heels on the necks of poor black and Hispanic people, and particularly children. They have destroyed the life chances of millions of black and Hispanic children by trapping them in public schools that don't teach them because they're run for the adults. They're run for the teacher unions and the Democratic Party. They won't let them out. They won't give them choice. So they can send their kids to schools that will teach them. But the Democrats themselves, all the legislators, send their kids to private schools. If that isn't racism, I don't know what is. Republicans, the Democrats' attacks on Republicans are all moral. That's why they win. They accuse Republicans of being selfish and racist and so forth. Republicans, I mean, they do look what's happening now. Okay, we have Boehner has got a lawsuit because Obama has violated American laws systematically and constitutional laws in particular. The Republicans are complaining that the Democrats have secret plans that they're not disclosing, like they're taking these kids whom they've lured into this country, and they've closed the camps that the kids were in, and they've shifted them, but nobody knows where. The governor of Oklahoma was complaining yesterday she hasn't been told where these kids are going. Why isn't it that the Democratic Party calling, Republicans, why aren't they describing this as a criminal, secretive administration, and the president as a criminal who is not disclosing vital information to the American people and their representatives? That's the problem, and that's why Republicans are always on their heels and Democrats are always on the offensive.
But tell me, when will we wake up? I mean, because America, you see America changing. I never thought I would be
losing
the America that I see today.
We're losing America. The Democratic Party is a left-wing socialist party, and it is systematically destroying this country. The border is the perfect example. No, you can't have a country if you don't have borders. If you just let anybody in, you know, millions of people who come from cultures that are alien to American culture. Why is Mexico poor? It has natural resources and it controls them. It's poor because it has a culture of corruption that runs to the highest levels of government and down to their law enforcement officers. That's why it's poor. Do you want to bring in 5-10 million Mexicans who will not be assimilated? They're not going to go through civic training programs and understand the American system, which has produced such prosperity. They're just going to drag us down. The Democratic Party, well, it's worse than that. Obama deliberately lost the war in Iraq, which is now being controlled by Al-Qaeda terrorists. He lost Syria by supporting Assad and then supporting the Al-Qaeda rebels. He intervened in Libya, and Libya is now a country in chaos with Al-Qaeda dominant. In Iraq, Al-Qaeda is slaughtering Christians. This is the oldest Christian community in the world that goes back to the time of Christ. And Christians are being slaughtered, and Obama is saying nothing. Obama, he pretends to be a Christian, but he's not. He won't defend Christians when they're being eliminated, basically. And in the Middle East, he's put his, you know, weight on the side of the scales of Hamas. I mean, how did Hamas build those tunnels? Obama gave them $400 million recently, actually $450 million. Of course, they're being armed by Iran and Qatar and Turkey. But Obama's on the wrong side in the war on terror. The Republicans are like tongue-tied. They never mention it. That's why they're on their heels. And this is the argument I make in this book I've written, Take No Prisoners.
You're an author. You're a journalist. You're a communicator. Our media today is very, very soft. And I think it's at its lowest point across the board.
Oh, well, they're all leftists. The problem is that the left is taking over this country, and the left does not like this country. It does not like the Constitution, which would make it hard for them to put through their programs. It thinks of America as an imperialist country. It doesn't want America to be strong and defend itself. A lot of Americans are going to die in the next years if these Al-Qaeda rebels, fully establish their control of Iraq with its massive resources. They're going to come through the border that the Democratic Party has destroyed and blow things up. That's what's going to happen. Obama is doing nothing to defend this country. But Republicans are too polite to say this in these terms.
David, this is Tracy's co-host. I saw this long before he ran for office, and I started warning people from the beginning about who he was and who was behind him.
Yeah, he is Jeremiah Wright and Billy Ayers combined. That's who Obama is.
But he's a slick liar. Well, let's add on to that. Let's take the progressives of the world, okay? And we're not talking about progressive people that want to progress the country. We're talking about the progressives as a political entity of people that are worldwide organization that are destroying nations one by one.
Yeah, they're communists. My parents were card-carrying communists, but they called themselves progressives. And they were members of the Progressive Party, yeah.
Absolutely.
They have people that are subscribing to this, David, and when you say take no prisoners, you know, we use that cliche in the street. You know, take no prisoners.
Yeah, well, you go for their jugular.
Absolutely.
Republicans,
Americans are sitting on the sideline, and you have the Republicans and the Tea Party infighting over something that they ought to be standing lockstep in
I agree.
Many ways.
It's because
that doesn't make any sense.
Republicans think policy is what is important. I mean, Paul Ryan, who was the vice presidential candidate and is everybody's fair-haired boy, the House just passed his budget. The budget is the height of political stupidity. They can't make cuts. Because you can't make cuts until you have the White House and the Senate. So what they do is they telegraph to the Democrats targets. For example, he's proposed to eliminate the Legal Services Corporation, a $420 million program. Well, what is that? It's a government program to provide lawyers for poor people when they need them. So Ryan and the Republicans have made enemies of the poor people, advocates for poor people, and worse still, all those middle-class Americans who are charitable people and want to help the unfortunate. This is Republican stupidity. The policy is secondary in politics. Politics is about this blood fest. It's a street fight. And the Democrats are calling Republicans racists and women haters. Republicans have to come back with language just as strong. It boggles my mind when you think of what's going on Detroit was just ruined by Democrats. In 1961, Detroit was the richest city in the country. A Democrat was elected mayor, and for the next 50 years, Democrats ran it as a monopoly. And what they did was they instituted their anti-business policies and drove out business.
They raped it.
They Coleman Young, who was mayor for 20 years and a member of the Communist Party and a racist, drove out the white middle class with their hostility to white people, and that was the tax base. Detroit used to have 2 million people. Now it's got 800,000. 85% of them are African American in the poorest large city in America, which is bankrupt. All the suffering in Detroit, Democrats have caused to black people, and Republicans are too polite to mention it. It's beyond me. I really don't understand this. But
I don't
my
either.
Book, I mean, my book gives a chapter and verse on all this, so that my book
I say it out loud. I say it out loud all the time, and as an African American, I go up to Detroit and I tell them the truth, and they don't like it because somehow they believe that the quote Republican equals racist, and it doesn't. It just means common sense.
Tracy, the problem is that Republicans are not standing up for these people in the inner cities. You don't hear Republicans shouting from the rooftop that these people are being oppressed and screwed and exploited by the Democratic Party. If Republicans started standing up for African Americans in the inner city, the people in the inner city would see Republicans in a different light. Republicans bear a large part of the responsibility here, and that's why my book is very critical
Take
of Republicans.
No David, I love you, and I appreciate you so much. Keep on pushing, keep on writing. You'll come back and hang out with me again, won't you?
I certainly will, anytime.
And we will hit some really hard issues, and I'll kidnap you and keep you for a while.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care. Yeah.
Thank you. David Horowitz, Take No Prisoners. You can find it anywhere books are sold. He'll come back on and hang out with us again. I want to thank him again for coming on and hanging out with me. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. I'm going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. A prosecutor has decided if any charges will be filed after bullets fired by someone who was target shooting struck two mobile homes. Police say two trailers were struck at the Camelot Mobile Home Park on Main Street Saturday afternoon. The first trailer struck was occupied by a woman and her five children ranging in age from 1 to 7 years old. The bullet passed through that trailer and struck a second occupied trailer across the driveway. No one was injured. The chances of a similar algae bloom like the one in Toledo shutting down the valley's drinking water supply are considered remote. Early detection is likely what prevented any widespread illness in Toledo. Water supplies like Aqua Ohio, which serves thousands of customers in the valley and statewide, have a source water protection plan, which is endorsed by the Environmental Protection Agency. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
The Cumulus Health Club and Progressive Women's Care in Youngstown and Boardman present today's health tips. Pregnancy and childbirth are exciting, but they can also be stressful. So the best healthcare partner is the one you feel comfortable with and can communicate with easily. And since you already have a busy schedule, look for a practice like Dr. Canby's Progressive Women's Care, who works hard to provide you with personalized, comprehensive, and affordable care in obstetrics, gynecology, and infertility. Progressive Women's Care's experienced team of professionals assist women of all ages by providing individualized healthcare from family planning to the birth of your baby, and into the later stages of life when women may face menopausal symptoms.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Of the United States, the Western world.
The way everybody feels except more consciously. I feel that it is terrible. that you see destruction all around you, and that you are moving toward disaster until and unless all those welfare state conceptions have been reversed and rejected. It is precisely these trends which are bringing the world to disaster, because we are now moving towards complete collectivism or socialism, a system under which everybody is enslaved to everybody. And we are moving that way only because of our altruist morality.
Ah, yes, but you say everybody is enslaved to everybody. Yet this came about democratically. I, a free people in a free country, voted for this kind of government, wanted this kind of legislation. Do you object to the democratic process?
I object to the idea that people have the right to vote on everything. The traditional American system was a system based on the idea that majority will prevail only in public or political affairs, and that it was limited by inalienable individual rights. Oh. Therefore, I do not believe that a majority can vote a man's life or property or freedom away from him. And therefore, I do not believe that if a majority votes on any issue, that this makes the issue right. It doesn't.
All right. Then how do we arrive at action? How should we arrive at action?
By voluntary consent, voluntary cooperation of free men, unforced.
And how do our leaders arrive? How do we arrive at our leadership? Who elects? Who appoints?
The whole people elects. There is nothing wrong with the democratic process in politics. We arrive at it the way we arrived by the American Constitution as it used to be. By the constitutional process as we had it, people elect officials, but the powers of those officials, the powers of government, are strictly limited. They will have no right to initiate force or compulsion against any citizen except a criminal. Those who have initiated force will be punished by force, and that is the only proper function of government. What we would not permit is the government to initiate force against people who have hurt no one, who have not forced anyone. We would not give the government or the majority or any minority the right to take the life or the property of others. That was the original American system.
When you say take the property of others, I imagine that you're talking now about taxes.
Yes, I am.
And you believe that there should be no right by the government to tax. You believe that there should be no such thing as welfare legislation, unemployment compensation, regulation during times of stress, certain kinds of rent controls and things like that.
That's right. I'm opposed to all forms of control. I am for an absolute, laissez-faire, free, unregulated economy. Let me put it briefly. I'm for the separation of state and economics. Just as we had separation of state and church, which led to peaceful coexistence among different religions after a period of religious wars, so the same applies to economics. If you separate the government from economics, if you do not regulate production and trade, you will have peaceful cooperation and harmony and justice among men.
You are certainly enough of a political scientist to know that certain movements spring up in reaction to other movements. The labor movement, for instance, certain social welfare legislation. This did not spring full-blown from somebody's head, out of a vacuum. This was a reaction to certain abuses that were going on. Isn't that true, Ian?
Not always. It actually sprang up from the same source as the abuses. If by abuses you mean the legislation which originally had been established to help industrialists, which was already a breach of complete free enterprise. If then, in reaction, labor leaders get together to initiate legislation to help labor, that is only acting on the same principle, namely all parties agreeing that it is proper for the state to legislate in favor of one economic group or another.
But
what I'm saying is that nobody should have the right, neither employers nor employees, to use state compulsion and force.
But when you advocate completely unregulated economic life in which every man works for his own profit, you are asking, in a sense, for a, A devil take the hindmost, dog-eat-dog society, and one of the main reasons for the growth of government controls was to fight the robber barons, to fight laissez-faire, in which the very people whom you admire the most, the hard-headed industrialists, the successful men, perverted the use of their power. Is that not true?
No, it isn't.
Oh.
This country was made not by robber barons, but by independent men, by industrialists who succeeded on sheer ability.
And having,
by ability, I mean without political force, help, or compulsion. But at the same time, there were men, industrialists, who did use government power as a club to help them against competitors. They were the original collectivists. Today, the liberals believe that that same compulsion should be used against the industrialists for the sake of workers. But the basic principle there is, should there be any compulsion? And the regulations are creating robber barons. They are creating capitalists with government help, which is the worst of all economic phenomena.
I think that you will agree with me when I say that you do not have a good deal of respect for the society in which you and I currently live. You think that we're going downhill fairly fast. Now, I would like you to think about this question, and you'll have a minute intermission to ponder it and then come back and answer it. Do you predict dictatorship and economic disaster for the United States if we continue on our present course? Do you? And we'll get Ayn Rand's answer in just a moment. And now back to our story. All right, Ayn Rand, what I'd like to know is this. Since you describe it as happening in your novel Atlas Shrugged, do you actually predict dictatorship and economic disaster for the United States?
If the present collectivist trend continues, if the present anti-reason philosophy continues, yes, that is the way the country is going. But I do not believe in historical determinism, and I do not believe that people have to go that way. Men have the free will to choose and to think. If they change their thinking, we do not have to go into dictatorship.
Yes, but how can you expect to reverse this trend when, as we've said, the country is run by majority rule through ballot, and that majority seems to prefer to vote for this modified welfare state?
Oh, I don't believe that. You know as well as I do that the majority today has no choice.
What do you mean?
The majority has never been offered a choice between controls and freedom.
How do you account for the fact that an almost overwhelming majority of the people who are regarded as our leading intellectuals and our leading industrialists, the men whom you seem to admire the most, the men with the muscle and the money, favor the modified capitalism that we have today?
Because it is an intellectual issue. Since they all believe in collectivism, they do favor it. But the majority of the people has never been given a choice. You know that both parties today are for socialism, in effect, for controls, and there is no party. There are no voices to offer an actual pro-capitalist, laissez-faire, economic freedom and individualism. That is what this country needs today.
Isn't
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Deaths and injuries today at an international military base in Afghanistan. A man dressed in an Afghan military uniform opened fire. Here's ABC's Scott Goldberg.
A U.S. official tells ABC News a two-star American general has been killed in Afghanistan. This is the highest-ranking member of the U.S. military to die in hostilities in the war in that country. The general died in an attack at the Karga military base west of Kabul, where coalition troops are training Afghan security forces.
Another 15 international troops were wounded. ABC News military consultant Stephen Ganyard says this was probably a premeditated attack.
They obviously picked out this general. It sounds like that there was a very senior Afghan military official also either killed or wounded as well. So very deliberate act. But it's going to break that bond of trust, which is so important in the training environment.
Ganyard says this was probably an inside job set up by the Taliban. A passenger on a flight to Britain arrested after the plane landed. Police in Manchester say he's suspected of making a bomb hoax threat on a Qatar Airlines flight. The second American aid worker recently diagnosed with Ebola in West Africa, now on her way to Atlanta. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Once Nancy Reitfeld is on the ground at Dobbins Air Force Base, a specially designed ambulance will drive her here to Emory University Hospital, where there is a significant police presence. The ambulance is lined with special covers to make sure body fluids are contained. That's the best way to contain Ebola. And once she's here, Reitbull will be taken to an isolation unit and given supportive care to help her body fight the infection naturally.
Nancy Reitbull was working in Liberia. American factories are getting busier again, a sign of a growing economy. The government says factory orders increased in June, led by more demand for aircraft, industrial machinery, and computers. This is ABC News.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it. You could junk it. Or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
After widespread destruction, hundreds of deaths, thousands of injuries, Israel and Hamas have agreed on a 3-day ceasefire. It's holding, at least for now. ABC's Terry Moran's in Gaza.
The question now is, what was accomplished by either side? Israel will say it destroyed a network of tunnels and depleted Hamas's rocket capacity, but Hamas will build those tunnels again, most likely, and get more rockets. And Hamas will say that it demonstrated to Israel that it could shoot rockets all over its territory. And Israel will come back and stop them again. The real fear is that this is just one more chapter in the endless cycle here.
The Palestinians and Israelis planning to hold peace talks in Cairo. Federal authorities in Miami are charging the owner of a defunct Florida clinic, Anthony Bosch, accused of providing steroids and other banned substances to Major League Baseball players, including New York Yankees star Alex Rodriguez. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I want to thank David Horowitz for coming on with us. Remember, it is Take No Prisoners. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And I got Jeff in studio with me, and then I played a clip from Ayn Rand and Mike Wallace. Thought it would be very, very interesting to hear her take that was taped a long time ago, and to see how real it is today. And when we talk about, you know, when I was saying to Diva about changing your methodology, changing your paradigm, I was checking out a new African inside the chat room. He was saying, well, you know, we say it's all about the party, it's all about the vote. But it is about the party, it's about the vote because it's about government, and government is moved by your vote, and it's moved by your economics. And if you don't understand how they commingle themselves and how to actually deal with it and how to move with inside of the parameters that are given to you, you will never win at this game. So I've got phone lines on. South Carolina, good morning, and how are you? I know he's.
Whoa.
Okay. They ain't talked in so long, they don't know how. Bianchi, good morning.
Good morning. That's all I got to say.
How are you this morning? That's all you got to say? Is it good morning? Well, good morning to you too, darling. And not so blind Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Tracy.
How
hey,
are
Ms.
you this
Tracy.
Morning?
Fine, thank
yes.
you. During the break, Bianchi and I were talking, and we got cut off by one of the feeds coming in the middle of the break. But I just wanted to encourage you to change part of your dialogue on something that I heard. And, again, I heard this from the white perspective, okay?
Okay.
When you talk about that trillion that the black Americans have as economic power, don't go all the way with, and none of that. Don't use that word none anymore. Is manufactured and none of it they own or whatever you, the way you phrase that, because it may be disproportionately less than where it could be, but it's not none. Because all that does is the people who are already beaten up, and again, I'm not black, but I'm feeling like I were, I don't think I'd be encouraged by hearing that. I feel more like, oh, give up, it's useless. Find a more positive way to put that number out there so it's empowering
and not victimizing. You want me to find a better way to put none?
Yeah, because none isn't true. There's lots
none
of very
true.
Successful black businesses out there.
That's not what I said.
Many,
no. Mike, what I said was I was talking about making.
Well, we have a few. We do have a few manufacturers. We even have one.
Sure we do.
A munitions manufacturer right here in town. We have a munitions factory here in town that they make munitions for the military.
Munitions?
Yep.
Munitions.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we do manufacture something.
We do. I mean, there's a small sliver of it, but in the country
sliver.
compared
so
to what
I won't say none. I'll say sliver.
Just say a very small amount. It's not where it could be, which is a positive way. And don't continue to victimize your own people by making them feel it's hopeless.
They need to know that if they keep on going down this road they're going.
Oh, yeah.
There is no hope.
Oh, don't, I'm not saying change your message. Just change that one sentence.
I'll put a more positive spin on my none.
Yeah.
There's a sliver of hope.
You make it sound like a starving person looking through a window at the last piece of cake at a buffet.
It is.
Oh, it is not.
It is. When you look at the immigration, when you look at the numbers coming in, I think Jeff brought up a statistic earlier today in reference to unemployment. Between African Americans and Latinos.
Well, the expansion of
employment.
The expansion of employment. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We went up. You said we went up a point.
Black people went up 1.6% since 2009 to right now. The Hispanics have gone up 6.5% up to this time. From 2009 to this time, so they're coming in, and the illegals and the legals are taking jobs left and
mm-hmm.
right.
Uh-huh.
And people are not.
And Philadelphia's been saying that for a long time.
Yes, he has. I mean, we've both been saying it for a long time because it's plain to see. It's very clear.
That's the reason why right now that statistic put into the black community, Jeff, by black people, black leaders who understand that number, Bianchi, you, Tracy, South Carolina, Alabama, people who know that, need to start spreading that in your own community. So that they understand that the next election is important, and they've got to stop voting for the party that offers trinkets.
It ain't even a trinket.
But
I mean,
also,
go ahead, Philly.
What also was happening on the other end is in the white collar market, people who are Asian or East Indian, they're taking the majority of those jobs. So even if you're African American, you've been to college or graduate school, and you're in a particular career path, there's a chance that your position is going to be taken from you by somebody from Asia or India because a lot of the corporations, they prefer to hire people from those parts of the world. And especially if you look in the Northeast, most of the hospitals and law firms and engineering firms, if they have to hire somebody who happens to be a person who's a minority, they're hiring Indians and Asians. And they're not hiring the African Americans in large numbers. So what happens?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I've got a question, Philadelphia. You said they're not hiring African Americans in large numbers, But
no.
Let me ask you this. Is it because we're not prepared or we're not there?
Basically.
Because every African-American engineer that I know that wants to work has a job and got a good one.
Well,
When I say engineering, I'm talking about your high skill trades.
Okay, basically, in the Northeast, the healthcare industry is very big. I can tell you on the faculty of most of the medical schools in this particular region, they don't have one African-American person who's a professor on faculty. If they have to hire faculty, they're going to hire someone who's a foreigner, and they're going they're going to tell the government, look, we do have people who are minorities. We just hired somebody who's East Indian or somebody who's Chinese.
But when I ask you that, from my understanding, is that your African American physicians and doctors, they don't have to go into academia that way, because there's not a lot of money in academia like that.
Right.
Those that are out there that
but
are doing
also
it.
People,
hold on, let me finish. Those that are out there that are doing it that are the best at their rate. The reason why they're not professors is because there's no money in that. That's not their call, and they don't want to.
Right. But what I'm saying
and those
is
that
also,
do,
but,
and though, hold
but
on,
also in
let
terms
me finish.
Of the top.
But those that do, there's a long line waiting for universities trying to find people of color, especially African Americans, who will take the pay cut and come in and put up with the minutiae going through the political process of academia.
But what I'm saying is, if you're trying to look for somebody who's a cardiac surgeon or somebody who's a neurosurgeon, and you happen to go through a particular city, most of the best people in that particular field, they're on the faculty of some type of medical center in that city. What I'm saying is you don't have any African Americans in most of the urban centers in the Northeast who are in that position. And what I'm saying is that is done on purpose. And what you find across the board.
Jeff, you agree with that?
Well, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. And what you
because
find across
the
board
doctors,
in terms
the
of white collar employment.
The doctors that I know, the physicians that I know, those that want to play the game to get up into the ranks of departmental heads, they're walking out of college if they're crafted at their skill, and they're walking in as writing their own checks and writing their own tickets because they're looking for black people. The problem is we're not matriculating through the system and getting up the food chain high enough to make it happen.
Well, the American...
And the reason why you're not getting up high enough is because the African-Americans, like I said, in college, they don't major in the hard subjects. They don't get the grade point averages.
Well,
they don't get the standardized exam scores to actually make it into the top-notch graduate schools.
Again, going back to what I said to Diva earlier. What I said to Diva earlier was very, very I was serious about that. We don't sacrifice the immediate for the future.
Yeah, that's true. But also what I'm saying is that the African Americans are not just being replaced in the blue collar market. You're also being replaced in the white collar market by people who are Indian and Asian.
Philadelphia, you just said, sir, that they don't go for that educational qualification or background or credential. So they're not being replaced. They're not there. So you're not.
But also, is the ones who do go to college and who are able to get that credential, they're being replaced as well because.
No, they're not.
They're not being replaced.
No, they're not.
Staying where they are because they work so darn hard to get there. They're not going to take a pay cut.
Well,
they have a ride.
No.
Personally, I can tell you of people I know of who have finished schools like Georgetown and the University of Maryland, and they applied for jobs in places like Philadelphia and in Boston and other places like this, and they were not able to get hired. And what they found after they look at the roster of employees who were hired, the majority of the minority people were people who were East Indian or they were Chinese.
But are you talking the same credential? Are you talking the people you're graduating, the ones you're talking about who graduated couldn't get jobs? You got to keep comparing apples against apples against apples. You're switching back and forth here. Just because they graduated Georgetown, were they a physician with a specialty in neurosurgery and they couldn't get applied or they couldn't be accepted? Or were they just somebody who had another college degree in something from Georgetown? You can't make two different arguments support one theory.
Because let me say this. We really need to understand that when you look at the professionals, those that are of color, African Americans, there are universities and major colleges and hospitals across this country that are looking for African Americans. We can't hold on to our black doctors here locally that are good. Because as soon as they get through their residency program, they're out.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot hold on them because of the market that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't get them here. So the people that are who are like our Dr. Perry's who passed away, we have no place of no way of replacing them because these guys are gone. And they're some of the best in the country. I mean, when I talk about a friend of mine who's a plastic surgeon, he left here, and he's now over in Los Angeles with his own private practice, doing very, very well, making money that he would never make here, and we couldn't get him back here except for weddings and funerals.
I went online to look for a medical referral service in South Carolina here, just out of curiosity, see what's out there. Do you know that most of the doctors servicing black patients in South Carolina are the Asians and Indian doctors who were just out of their internships? Your own community doesn't even service your own people.
But now let me say this.
20% of the doctors here in America are Asians.
But let me say this also.
But I'm not just
speaking of
medicine.
The mindset.
I'm saying engineering, IT,
Philadelphia,
computer
Philadelphia.
Science. You find this across the board.
Sweetheart, we're talking
about
across the board. If you're good at right now, Alex, who calls in here, who used to call in here, but now he's too busy making too much money to call in here, is not lacking for a job. And never has since he walked across the stage with his master's degree.
Right.
What I'm saying is in certain regions of the country.
No, certain regions, they don't want to be there. They don't want to work at county hospitals because they don't have to. Because we don't have enough. The reason why you got Asians everywhere is because there are so many of them, they're everywhere. But you can't find African-Americans at the quality that you're talking about, and the reason why they're not where we want them to be is because they won't be there. And as a matter of fact, when we do have good doctors in our community, we won't support them because we don't want to go to a black doctor.
Uh-huh.
Well, but also it's the case that employers tend to prefer foreigners over African-Americans.
That's not true.
Well, I agree with them on that.
They might be better. They might have a stronger work ethic, and they might be more focused.
Well, then
no,
you
can walk over them
a
whole lot easier
point?
Than you can a black
no,
person.
No, not at all. See, here's what's going on, and this is the dynamic. The foreign Indian guy and the African guy that comes here. You know, we have a good friend that is an excellent plastic surgeon.
Yes.
And walked in and became the head of surgery.
Yes.
Here at the hospital here.
That's true.
And now went to a group out in L.A. so he can make a kaboogle.
He can make money now.
Kaboogle-getting bucks out there and doing what he does. Well, here's the thing. They do have a work ethic that is one of not being afraid, number one.
That's true.
They have they know their craft. They're more disciplined than the people, than most of the people here.
Yourself?
Not all.
A lot.
Because there's a whole lot of us that, you know, don't forget, we have a snobby group of people in the African-American community that go to the, you know, the traditional black schools, and they are very hoity-toity, you know, they're way up there on that chain, and they act like they are, just like Whitley on It's a Different World.
Absolutely.
Okay, you have a lot of black people like that in this country, and they are quietly doing some things. I'm looking at some statistics here on black businesses and how they've progressed over the past years. You didn't have a lot of black businesses doing things in America before 1974. I didn't say none. But now you have quite a bit. You have, and you do have about 12 to 17% of black businesses that are manufacturers. And that is a good amount of things, you know, happening, starting to happen. But this has to be cultivated. Notice that you don't hear about this unless you go look for it. Black Enterprise Magazine, if you don't watch BET TV, you're not going to see this. This needs to be mainstreamed. This needs to be on, you know, your CNNs and your Fox News and all these things like that.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. And see, this is where my problem is. Now, let's look at this. BET does not tell you that.
Well, they have the black business. They have the Black Enterprise show come on. And
they don't tell you that. They tell you some stuff, but they don't.
Oh yeah, sure they do. Sure they do. But the thing is it's not enough. It blows right by you because if you don't watch Black Enterprise every single week, you know you're not going to see it. You see white businesses focused.
So on Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it when I look? You know, I watch Bloomberg in the network.
Yeah.
I know you watch some other people.
No, I watch all other people, but I can't stomach Bloomberg. But go ahead.
So tell me this: why is it that I don't see anybody of color on the Bloomberg thing?
Because they don't want you to see anybody of color on the. Notice that when you have the people that invest people's money.
Yeah.
Notice you have one of the foremost black people on Fox that invests other people's money and makes a kajillion bucks doing it. And so you have that image out there, but it's not enough. I forget my man's name, but he's one of the Bulls and Bears, you know.
Yep.
But he's excellent. I mean, he's a
bad player. I'm just saying. So the imaging is there, but as when it comes to physicians and people getting hired, I think a lot of it has to do with us not being there because the numbers. It's like television markets.
We're
not there. I mean, there's so few of us.
The best
goes to the top, and you can't get the rest.
Well, this is the point. You have too little people, like Philly was saying, getting the educations that allow them to get that high.
So whose fault is that?
Well, that's our fault.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Our worker programs and immigration programs. Again, the government meddling in the free marketplace is really what it comes down to. They offer incentives if you're hiring foreign people in your hospitals and stuff. There's government subsidies and stuff for their payroll and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now, the answer to that is not start
putting
government subsidies for hiring black people. It's take away all the darn subsidies and put everybody on an equal playing field.
We didn't stay on this long yesterday, but Jesse Jackson saying there's not enough blacks in Silicon Valley. Well,
I know.
That's the other thing that I guess Brown cussed me out about. The thing is you don't have people trying to get into Silicon Valley because most of the time we don't know about Silicon Valley.
Right.
And we have to get over this stupidity of feeling like something is not...
Hold on, Philadelphia. Wait a minute, Jeff. This is my problem. I got more toys around here than a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get people to do a whole lot of things to deal with technology.
Yeah.
And technology, I mean, if you play the games, why not create the games?
Yeah.
And everything is, there's no longer a color preference when it comes to Silicon Valley. It's all about a dog-eat-dog, get in the place, get in the face,
absolutely,
do what you got to do. And what's happening is we don't want to do that. It takes too much time. I mean, I watch kids almost, and excuse the crassness of, they pee in a bottle so they don't have to move because they're writing code and they don't want to lose their jive.
That's
real.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
We don't do that. That's not what we want to do. And let me say this. Association brings upon assimilation in a lot of ways. And because we don't have the competitiveness of it in our own communities and we don't create the environment for it, we don't get it.
This is what is causing – this is what was caused by the 1964 Civil Rights Act. This phenomenon of not wanting to excel or being afraid to excel at the same time. It's craziness.
Michigan, your mic is on.
Yeah. I'm just listening, but I don't know. It seems like it's it's kind of narrow-minded. You guys are kind of narrow-minded when you try to give definitional explanation to the black plight. I mean, that's the best way to sum it up. It seems like it's almost like, I don't see how you can blame the victim. I would say 90% of the condition of the African-American is not his fault. I don't see no way around. I don't see no formula where you guys can. It's almost like you guys are blaming the victim for that position.
I just said it. 1964.
Well, that ain't the students. That ain't the children's fault.
No, listen. You were pushed into being, just like Mr. Horowitz was saying a little earlier. You were pushed into communities and controlled by one political subdivision that used you like a flock of sheep. They shear you once a year and sell your wool. And give you not a doggone thing except they let you eat a little bit here and there so that you can stay healthy enough to grow more wool.
Yeah. But the position, save the African American attempting to be independent inside of his own communities, the position of the African American, whether it be politically, economically, socially, he's always been pimped, and the pimping is not necessarily because he wanted to be a hoe. You understand what I'm saying? The African American in America, he didn't come out the womb saying I want to be a hoe and be pimped.
No,
so,
highlighting
specific times where the African American has been pimped. Now, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, but this has always been the position. Because he's a minority, and because you are under a system of racism, white supremacy, he can be nothing but pimped until he removes himself from this sub position. So you see what I'm saying? It's almost like you're saying, man, you guys are just ignorant and you're letting people pimp. What is that about?
But listen, right now. Listen, when I said to Diva, when I said to her about education and paying for school and understanding that she said, well, I have to go home and I had to work to take care of my family. So I had to take care of my mom because she was working a low-wage job and I couldn't take care of myself and I couldn't do all this. And I said, we're going to have to stop allowing our children to take care of our problems but let them go and live so they can come back and take care of us after they get to where they're going. See, I understand that there are many of us that have a victim mentality and that we have been victimized as a community. But right now, you can be free now if you choose to. And the problem is the people that have taken the noose around our neck won't let us know that we're free. And we can go and we can become an independent agent on our own if we're willing to sacrifice the immediate for the future. And that's not what we're willing to do. We will not sacrifice the immediate for the future.
Listen,
a lot of us who have long-term thinking, and what happens with a lot of the African-American students, they're not as goal-oriented as people who are of other ethnic groups, namely Asians and like other groups. They tend to be goal-oriented. They have a definite plan from their first day of school. And what
so
they
when
do
we
every
start
day
teaching
is they
our
try
young
to execute
people,
that plan.
Philadelphia, when do we start teaching our young people how to be goal-oriented?
Public schools.
That hasn't happened
hold
at
on,
the
hold on,
level.
Hold on. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Crazy, listen, you know, when I went up to that conference and I was asked that question, I told them that the best way to beat a man in his own game is first learn the rules, secondly, learn how to play it, and then become proficient at the game. Okay, I was basically slapped in the face because I made those comments. because they were saying that what I was saying was we need to cow down and bow down to the white man under his terms to get what we want. And my thing is this, if that's what you need to do to become successful, then that's what you do. If attaining education, obtaining skills, obtaining an occupation is the gateway to get wealth, then that's what you do. But you got to do it if you're in somebody else's game, you're in somebody else's arena, you have to do it on their terms, and we're not willing to do it on their terms. We're so content in having somebody else give it to us, and that's where the problem is.
A good portion of
it. The history, that narrative, the history of the African-American is polar opposite to that narrative of him not wanting to do that. That's just not true when you look at the history of the African-American.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's narrow.
You're correct, but it is. It might be of the history, but it's true today.
It's definitely true today. I mean, if you look at a lot of these urban centers, you basically have welfare states which have been erected, and that's the reason why the governments of a lot of these urban cities are starting to fail, because the tax base is so low, because people relied on government benefits and on public sector jobs to help to fuel the economy, and those things
that's
are falling
true.
Apart.
Let me say this real quick. I'm gonna give you an example.
Go ahead. Hold on. Let me finish. Let Jeff get this in.
Yeah, in an inner city school right near us right here right now, some students were asked what they wanted to be when they grew up. Their third, fourth grade, fifth grade. You know what they said? Some of them. I want to get on SSI.
Oh man.
Now. What are you going to do with that one? And see, this is what makes me a nail spitting mad at political structure, okay? And I'm not just talking about one side. I'm talking about period. Because if just like a man was saying earlier, if people would change their direction about who the people that say that are their friends and start thinking about this, and then you're relegated to being called, they're going to take our programs, early lunch, early this. I don't want no doggone early lunch, and I want to say it stronger. My daughter didn't get no early lunch and early breakfast. She had it at home.
Yeah, Jeff, but here's the point. Have on your program one of these elected politicians and ask them to show a map of where their campaign dollars come from. The people that's voting for them,
absolutely.
Unfortunately, the children that's coming from families that say that they want to be on SSI, they're not donating to them campaigns. All they do is merely vote.
But let me say this: I've got to take a break. But listen to this, and please hear me. Dollars do not vote when people do. And if we establish the right network and quit getting people to sell us, because what happens is people who look like us sell us.
Absolutely.
And they sell us for, let me finish, they sell us for crumbs. Maxine Waters, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they sell us for pennies on the dollar. We rally up and rise up at their call. They mobilize us. Because they've been bought and paid for by the system, the NAACP and the Urban League, the mobilization committees who come out and they mobilize you for what they need to get done, and they never educate you on the end result. So Vashti McKenzie comes on my program, tells you to get out the vote, but she doesn't tell you who or what you're voting for, because they know, all they know is if I get you to the polls, you'll vote D down the line. And that's all I need. They never educate you on the issues. They never educate you on what's going on around you. And you never see them come around for low-level voting.
Hold on, Michigan.
And if we quit mobilizing their dollars and start thinking about our vote, then we will have something. because then you will be able to elect people who are going to represent you and be used by you. That's why down there in South Carolina where that old guy went on there and started robocalling, telling them they're going to put, you know, vote for this guy so they'll keep you, keep your money and keep your SSI and do all that kind of stuff. If they can get you to vote that way, they will use it against you. And that is a problem.
When we've identified ourselves as those, that's the thing.
That's the problem. And until we begin to start thinking and quit being mobilized by dollars, we see dollars in the eyes of people so they get their message out. They don't tell you anything. They just tell you what they want you to know. Because I promise you, if we were to band together in our own community, where Tim Ryan is the congressman, and tell him, if you don't do this, in 2 years you will not be back there. I promise you, we can get him to spit, dance, and shuffle because he likes his job.
But you're scared of him, so you won't say nothing.
So since we love him, and because he comes to our church to visit, and because he comes to visit us when we're walking down the street, we don't ask for nothing. Don't ask, don't get nothing. And we won't hold true to our threat. I watched them call the chairman of the Democrat Party locally a Sambo and all kinds of Kunta Kinte's, and then came back like a lapdog and never went after him. They need to shut up.
Voted for him again.
It had nothing to do with money. It had to do with you had the power and don't know the power that you have. Yes, Michigan?
Yeah. Hey, let me say this. I've told you this before. You're a little hard of hearing. Voting is the lowest form of political power.
True.
In a capitalist society. I've told you that at least five times on this show, Tracy. I don't know.
But it's incorrect.
But also, listen.
You can't tell people nothing.
With all those good white books that you're reading, Clinton, if you don't understand that organized money runs a capitalist society, I don't see why you're reading those books.
You want me to tell you something? Michigan, I don't have all day for you to try to give me a lesson about something that you don't know nothing about.
I don't know nothing about.
I'm not trying to prove something. I'm trying to tell you something that I know. If you look at Bill Clinton, he was from poor white trash in Arkansas. And there's a reason why he made politics his business. So y'all call him up and tell him I said it. And the reason why he made it his business, because he studied the craft long enough, he learned how to manipulate it so to work for his own good. So right now, whether you like him or love him, vote for him or don't vote for him, first black president or not, whatever it is, that's why he is where he is. He knew what he was doing. He didn't have no money when he started, and he knew that if he could manipulate the system to make it work on his behalf, he would win. Our problem is he is now using it against us to come vote for his wife because we're too dumb to ask the questions, what are you going to do, where have you been, and how can you're going to pay me for your vote one way or another. It's not all about the money. It's about the knowledge. In a capitalist society, it's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have. And our problem is we have not learned how to do with what we have. We have no idea what we have in our hands. And they're never going to tell you because we're too ignorant trying to play somebody else's game because of something we learned by some black person who ain't got nothing.
Well, the reason why we don't know what to do with what we have because we have a psychology of dependence, which has been fostered since the plantation system.
What do you have?
You have the power of your knowledge. Listen, African Americans have the power of their knowledge. You want to know? You don't ask me a question and then not. No.
But that's vague.
Listen,
what knowledge?
I said we have a knowledge of our mind. We have a knowledge of our collectiveness. Don't tell me no. It's true.
Knowledge of a mind. Listen to what you're saying.
Okay,
what is
the knowledge
of the mind? What does that mean?
Listen, my friend.
He can't common sense. Hold on,
Bianchi. Yeah, we had an election here some 8 years ago where a young man who's now serving in the Obama administration ran for mayor of Youngstown. he did not have the money that the Democrat candidate had, and he ran as an independent. They did not want this young man to become mayor because it wasn't his turn. Number one, he wasn't a white boy. Number two,
and they couldn't control him.
And guess what? He ran his campaign and beat the socks off the other Democrat in the race. And guess what? He became the mayor. So in that instance, for once, you had black people voted for themselves. And they put a very good candidate up there. Now, there's things that he might not have done like they wanted. And for those that are hearing me here locally, I understand. But he was a pretty good mayor, and he put some things in operation. Why, you have a rolling mill out there right now after he went to France and made and inked the deal. And after he did several things, you have to understand, you had a thinking black man there that wasn't somebody's puppet. And so, therefore, you had the power to govern yourself. You still have that power. It doesn't matter really how many dollars go into the other man.
The dollars only mobilize the vote.
You can move past that.
Dollars mobilize the vote. But dollars do not, because that's just it. If you keep on thinking about what I don't have, you won't know what you do have. And African Americans have a whole lot. Right now, they can make this whole country spin and start talking in Swahili if they just knew how to take their collectiveness and come together and quit being ignorant and stupid.
You just said collectiveness, then you say to come together. I've heard you say that it don't come together. That's confusing.
They need to come together around economic issues and promoting a health. I mean, they definitely need to build an economic base in the black community because you're being taken over by foreigners, and the foreigners are taking all your businesses away. You don't have an economic infrastructure, and that's the reason why the cities are falling apart. Because people don't have any money.
I agree with you on that, John.
The only thing I don't understand about you is if you see a kid with a snotty nose, and to continuously say, "Hey, you got a snotty nose," that's and analyzing and giving analysts to something that is, and Tracy does this all the time as well. Everybody can see the snot coming out of the nose. What's the point in study saying you got a snotty nose? What do you get?
Another thing that I hear all the time. I've listened to Woman's Solution, which is ran by Naima Latif out of Chicago. Come on at 7:00 Central Time on Blog Tahrir. Real good show. And you had women on there who was complaining. You know, you had this case in Chicago where this white man slapped this female, this black judge, and spit on her. And I guess he didn't know that she was a judge. But anyway, you had some black women that was promoted the movement for what's ended up with a trial this morning with this white guy. But, you know, they mentioned the NAACP. They was complaining about teachers being laid off. And they was complaining about blacks in other areas. Well, how can you mention teachers who supports teachers union who is anti-black ideas, and how can you talk about NAACP who's also against blacks having choice and where to put their children in school? It just don't make no sense.
Well, basically the teachers union is part of organized labor, and organized labor is what has been running most of the cities in the north for the past 50 years. The teachers union needs to be broken up. You need to put teachers on performance contracts, and you would find a dramatic change in the performance of the public school teachers and in the graduation rates in most of the public high schools. But what happens is a teacher is put on a tenure track after just 1 year of employment, and that's too short a time. And as a result, you got a lot of teachers who are not very good. The good teachers are pushed into the magnet high schools that put the kids on an academic track. All of the neighborhood schools get teachers who really don't know what they're doing, and they're not there to teach.
And Tracy, talk about black collectiveness in one sentence. The next sentence, you talk about blacks not coming together. Now, which one is it? Where is the collectiveness when you say that they won't come together?
Is complaining about the state of black people, but black people are caught into a psychology of dependence. And the majority of the ones that are low income, they are dependent on the government completely. And what you have to start to build, you got to build some type of small business ventures, some type of economic types of infrastructure inside the low income neighborhoods to help them get out of that government dependence.
What Tracy and Jeff doesn't understand, voting is just a lever of power within a system.
Yeah.
It's not. You can't sit voting alone by itself. For instance, if in fact a people have a society and they see where their competition may be being sophisticated in one area, say voting. Okay, blacks have gotten sophisticated in voting. Well, when you have a collective and a running culture, well, you have ways around the voting. Thus, that's how you come in with lobbyists.
Yeah.
That's a way around the collective vote.
But then if they only vote for one particular party, they become a pawn of that party. And you really can't have politics without economics. Those two areas go hand in hand. So therefore, if you're just voting for one party, that party is going to take that vote for granted, and they're going to assume they can put any Democratic candidate they want up there. If they say certain things like public sector and government benefits, the African Americans are automatically going to vote for that person.
But and to add to that, in a capitalist society, organized money will trump organized votes.
Yeah.
Every time. So if you don't have both, right, it's better to have organized economics.
Blacks had organized money. How do you think things like Providence Hospital were built? You know who built Providence Hospital? The black policymakers and the numbers runners, the Jones brothers who came out of Arkansas.
Yeah, if you look at the foreigners, you don't see them down at City Hall.
No.
You don't see them. You don't see them at the commission meetings.
But I can tell you,
urban communities.
But also, most people realize that under segregation, you had to have business enterprises, you had to have your own hospitals and so forth, and you had a higher rate of employment among black men during those times than you have today. And the reason why you don't have the high rate of employment today is because you don't have those institutions in place.
I was a city commissioner for 6 years. And even ran for mayor. I have never.
And
seen
when you're talking about having some power, what we're talking about is this.
Never.
Yes, the rule is that usually whoever raises the most money and can advertise the best is the one that gets elected. So, yes, corporate America is running our political system. No doubt about it. I don't disagree with you. But that there are exceptions to that rule, and we're seeing it done right now by many Tea Party candidates throughout the nation who are coming up with a cause. See, the only thing that trumps money is passion. No matter what the Republicans did, they couldn't win a couple of elections because one thing, the black community's passion and poor community's passion was raised by people telling them, you know, hey, they're going to take this from you. They don't like you because you're black. You're red. When, you know, it was a lie, but they got people emotion involved. So with that said, Michigan, I want you to come back and try to explain what you were saying. So we can get a clear understanding of what you were saying. If you could try to be as concise as possible, go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is that organized vote. I'm not discounting organized vote.
I'm saying in a capitalist society. In other words, the vote is one lever of power within a society, a political power. I'm saying in a capitalist society, we can see the history that when it's all said and done, organized money trumps organized votes.
Yeah, it does.
Not all the time.
In any ethnic group, you have to have an organized economy. Hold on, Philly.
You're gonna come in. Go ahead.
What we're doing, Jeff, is we're not looking for the norm, right? Because you're talking about 42 million. So we're not looking for the. You see what I'm saying? We're not looking for that one situation where you did get one black mayor and say, now this is the model. You don't do that, man, when you're talking about trying to organize 42 million people. You don't. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, see, here the thing is.
16 million came out of vote for Obama now.
Yeah. See, here's the thing that you're not looking at. The Democrats absolutely organized 16 million black people. However many black people it was. 96% of the black community to vote for Obama. Okay? They absolutely did that, and they did it with very little money. All they had to do was cattle call you, because guess what? He didn't buy no black media.
Put it in context, man. The white Democrats are in a society with the white Republicans, so there's no lose situation there. What I'm saying is, if you see a sophistication of African Americans voting, where it appears that they're trying to leverage some power, when you have a culture, man, you have ways of disrupting that or trumping the vote. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
You're talking about the distribution of resources. A vote is not a resource.
Let me give you an example, Jeff. If you spent $100,000 to win, if I come to you your next time around and say, look, I'll give you $50,000 to get you elected, and you listen to me after you're elected. Well, I just now decreased the big, hard-run effort that you put forth to win the last time by 50%. You don't have to work that hard. Yet and still, you still got the mechanism to get out and contact those other voters. So money can persuade a elected candidate.
Absolutely.
It does all the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It happens in our community all the time. Look at the program. They had a program here. We had a lot of violence in the streets. So a bunch of organization came together with a theme called Put Down the Gun. They took Put Down the Gun into Vote for Obama in 2008 because they had the ear of all these people and had Democrats to fund their movement. So, yes, you know that that money do
make
a difference.
And that's the reason why a lot of the local – black politicians are not effective because there is no black economy there to back them at the time that they have to go campaign. They can't go and get black money. So, therefore, they're not beholden to a black agenda that's in the city. They're beholden to the white business people who have a particular agenda for African Americans. And that's the reason why you really don't have people who are effective black African American politician.
Let me give you one example with Detroit. When you're talking about a capitalist society, if you had to turn off water, right, would you turn off the water of the citizen first or the business first?
Well, I saw that.
Just give me an answer. Would you turn off the water?
They're going to turn off the water of the
difficult.
Citizens first.
There you
absolutely.
Go. There you go. Right.
That's what they did, and that's a shame, right there,
man. And I would too, because I would believe that the desired effect would be this. Those citizens, many of them just aren't paying their bill, not that they can't pay it, and I'd cut them all off myself.
A lot of them.
Hey, Jeff. But look at it from this way: if you cut off the businesses first, then even the let's say that the people who got in their water turned off because they're unemployed, now they have no jobs to get the water back on in the first place.
Well, that's the other point.
It's the greater good.
Yeah, that's the point. That's why I said I would cut the citizens off because, you know, because, hey, this is the thing. You need those businesses to still keep cranking.
That's right.
And people don't realize that in the society when they talk about corporate welfare and all this other stuff. Well, guess what? Corporations keep your behind running, big and small. And if you don't understand it, that's how you get a paycheck, is for a business to keep going. And that's what you don't understand. That's why you have these idiots out here in this fast food stuff talking about $15 an hour. We're going to strike. Man, take your stuff. You're behind on home. And
yeah. Well, like
I replace
was saying,
you.
In terms of, like I was saying, in terms of the minimum wage workers, they are, I mean, a lot of them don't have the skills to go into anything
else. We understand that.
Whose fault is that?
Right.
But, Jeff, if a corporation, how many things? A corporation's water bill is an itemized expense. When they get to the point where they don't want to pay the water bill to the city that probably gave them tax incremental finance and tax breaks in order to get established, to a city who they probably using foreign something, whereas they're avoiding paying income tax to the federal. Man, what did that say about their corporation?
But they all operate like that. That's what I said. The profit motive, it breeds greed. And ultimately, that's what you get in a capitalist society.
And personal self-interest doesn't breed greed.
Motive, it breeds greed.
It does.
You know what?
Self-interest doesn't, right? You wanting something over your neighbor. If you're in line with four people and you see only three left on the table, you don't push and shove so that you ain't the one who gets nothing, right? Come on. It's human nature to be greedy.
But you have to have the profit motive because you have to have competition. Because if you don't have competition, then you're going to have things develop like monopolies, and that's going to drive the price on consumers up.
Yeah.
Consumers will have to pay one entity a particular price. And that's the reason why I'm paying cable bills that are almost $200 because Comcast doesn't have any competition in this region.
But you don't need cable to live.
Right, I'm not saying you need cable to live, but you don't need cable to live, but that's just one example of one industry that has tried to dominate a particular industry, and now they have monopoly, and they're driving the price up on consumers.
But they're regulated by the Federal Communication Commission, and you can complain to them because they're licensed to be a monopoly, and you have control over that. And this is more of the problem of government regulation.
It's more of the thinking of how the Europeans' philosophy and their way of thinking about how people get along and how they relate. It's not government.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me show you something.
Michigan. I can't. I gotta go.
We're getting cut off here, so you guys
can talk when we get off of here. I'm going to leave the lines open so you guys can do some things. Very interesting today, but I think that we have to just change our paradigm to look different ways of what's going to work and what's not going to work for us, and that's how we have to go. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, I can understand what Michigan is saying in terms of, you know, the profit motive breeds corruption and greed, but you have to have some form of capitalism to ensure that people who deserve to get ahead get ahead, but at the same time you have to have a degree of types of regulation coming from the government to rein in businesses that are not following proper practices.
There's a difference between consumer law and trying to manipulate a marketplace. Comcast is a perfect example of government regulation. They picked one company to be the monopoly. Had the government stayed out of the cable business completely, you would have determined which cable company you wanted to be with, and the one that kept not sending you a signal because their wires kept falling off the poles and they had took 8 days to repair something after a snowstorm, you would just say, they don't get my money. But the marketplace would have sorted them out, and there would be no $200 a month cable company.
Right. Well, you know the problem with the cable.
The perfect example of deregulating a utility. When they deregulated phones back in 1984, back then we were paying 55 cents a minute to call from Waterbury, Connecticut to Hartford, which was only 35 miles away. We were paying huge money to call coast to coast. Now you call everywhere in the country for free.
That was AT&T. But, you know, Mike, here's the problem with communication,
yeah.
whether it's telephones or whether it's cable.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Who owns – if a new cable company comes into town, they still going to have to use the present infrastructure. They're not going to string out their own infrastructure.
No.
That is
the
big problem.
They're going to rent the wires. They're going to rent the cables. You're right about that, Bianchi. They're going
to
rent
the
wires.
Stopping. They're about to stop other people from running their fresh wires and running because there are people that are trying to do it with fiber optics. And
right.
I think AT&T, they're actually trying to get the government to block that. They don't want anybody coming in doing because you can actually start a company, you know, just starting with one city and just spread out from there.
I looked at this. Where we were, we could not get high-speed internet. We were on dial-up until just a few years ago out here. And we finally have DSL, and it's a godsend. But before that, we had satellite dish and everything. I actually looked at what it would cost. I could set up my own private internet company on a fiber, on a T1 fiber optic cable, and I could have provided high-speed much faster than dial-up. It wouldn't have been the equivalent of DSL, but it would have been much faster than dial-up. It would have been about four times faster, and I could have done the whole thing for less than $3,000 worth of equipment going wireless with my neighbors. And I could have serviced 100 homes within a so-many-mile radius of my home with a single tower. There's other options. You know, we're not locked to the old run wire. Matter of fact, most companies with any brains are getting away from cable. Especially
Mike, here's
cable.
The problem you run into.
Yeah.
Here's the problem you run into, and it's exactly what you're saying, you know. You know, President Obama said, made the comment, you know, that if you can start up a coal company, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah,
the regulations
exactly.
are so burdensome that you cannot do that right now.
And again, and that's,
you know,
that was the overreach of government. And so when you've got a corporation, just to get back to the thing about elections, I'm a corporation. There's two candidates running. One hates corporations' guts and wants to put them all out of business by overregulating them, and the other guy doesn't. Guess who gets my campaign contribution? My own self-best interest, the same as yours. What if a candidate ran who was a white supremacist to some of the gentlemen like Philadelphia on the line here and other people who were championing that cause? What if a gentleman ran who was a white supremacist and the first thing he'd swear to do as the new mayor, he'd get rid of all the black folks in town, move them out, evict them from their apartments? Would you give that money? Would you give him your vote, and would you give him any campaign contributions? The answer is no. Nobody in the right mind would. Nobody, white or black, should. But, you know, definitely the black community shouldn't vote for someone like that and support them. It's the same thing with corporations. When you've got corporate business haters, and they use that mantra to hate, 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 like President Obama said, and they're always upset and angry at corporations, no corporation's going to support a candidate who's angry about corporations.
But do you guys, I was listening a second ago, don't you guys feel like there should be some I do agree that there should be some, because these corporations get in bed with government, and once you use the government to cheat, it's like you destroy your competition.
They collude with each other.
Yeah, they
collude
get in
with
the government.
That's
just like Rockefeller said.
That's
was like.
That's a whole different thing. Conspiracy, no matter if it's the government or a huge corporation, is against the law. And that's the whole thing. They're breaking the law.
Well, if that's the case, the people from Wall Street should be in jail, which I think they should, but they're
right.
not
okay.
going.
Right, and everybody running
well,
gangs
they do.
Selling drugs in the inner city should be in jail too. Then everybody committing.
I mean, but they're going after
the
people selling drugs. Wall Street walk free.
Yeah. Well.
The people that created the crash are free.
The people at Wall Street does other things that you don't know
yeah.
about. I mean, them people see them trades come across. Them people see them trades come across the screen. They got ways of taking your money
yeah.
that never goes unreported.
Yeah,
and it does.
But the reason why the economy collapsed is because you didn't have regulation of the housing market. That's the reason why we had to go through the economic collapse of 2008.
Yeah.
Because the government wasn't involved in trying to regulate types of people that got mortgages. People were getting mortgages who didn't qualify.
That was Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, and HUD. The government was involved. They ordered banks to give subprime loans to people. That was the government who caused that.
That was done by Bill Clinton and Al Gore, and they regulated and they made those banks. If you were going to work, if you were going to operate in certain communities, you had to give a certain percentage of loans to, whether they were good or bad, to the individuals that lived in those communities, and that's how that worked.
The government should have been able to regulate different things like the Wall Street
did regulate it. Wasn't Wall Street that caused the crash. It wasn't Wall Street.
Hold on. But it was well documented that because of redlining, that's where this came into play. There was some that it needed some sort of regulation because there was
what
some
caused the crash? Caused the crash? It wasn't the fact if I was to sign up John for a house mortgage and say, John, that the price, you got a house that's $300,000. Now, right now, you can make these payments for this house, but it's a possibility in 5 years or so that your payment's going to go up. But you may be making more money on your job. But here's the point. When they begin to call the loans, in 2 years, all of a sudden, John don't have enough money to pay for his mortgage. So what do you expect that happened? He defaulted. That's how that went. They called the loans early.
Yeah. And they were using financial tools like derivatives, which were unproven, and the government wasn't able to regulate the use of these different types of financial things that the market was using to actually make investments.
But I also feel like there were a lot of people that money just doesn't evaporate in the air. There are a lot of people that got wealthy on that crash. A lot of people.
Yeah, you wonder about that too. Where did the money go?
Yeah, it just
where did the water go that flooded during Noah?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something else the market makers do. If South Carolina, you had 100,000 shares of stock you wanted to sell, and you wanted to sell at $6, that market house would buy it at $6, but they won't show it because heavy buying makes the price will do what? Go up. So when the price go up beyond $6, say it get up to $6.50, you get your $6, but they're going to sell what they hoarded at $6.50. And I think that there is against the law.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of crazy with stock market.
Here's the thing. You can look at the whole industry. Now, that's against the law. I mean, you got a guy that holds on to a stock for a while and it goes up, but he doesn't sell it. It's just like a guy selling a car on a lot, you know. The manufacturer's retail price says this, but he's going to sell it for $5,000 more because he can and because people will buy it. It's demand, supply and demand, and, I mean, that's the cornerstone of the American Republic.
Against what law? You see what I'm saying? You can't have it both ways. You want a capitalist system, but then you want to, when somebody figures a way how to manipulate it, then you want to say, hey, man, you own. I mean, which one do you want?
Well, but what they're trying to say is you can't have a system of social Darwinism inside capitalism. You can't have a system where the strong are the only ones that are able to make it. And everybody who is weak or poor is not able to compete.
Here's the problem that I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is this, Philadelphia. I've been watching this thing for a while. This is based on greed and jealousy. The people that can't make the money in the market get upset because they're wanting to get the money because it's being manipulated by their greed, and the other ones that can't get it, are jealous because they can't get it, so they want to regulate those guys that's making it out of the market. But all of it's centered around greed.
Well, hold on, though. Right. The government set up 401k so that when people hold their money, they buy it at the highest price. Like right now, if you put money in a 401k, that's just completely stupid. And then when the market turns against them, you don't make money going down, but you make money going. So they're holding you while the big fish coming in eating, taking chunks at you.
In my 401k, I can set whomever, whatever I want to buy, what stocks I want to buy, what funds I want to buy. I can do that on my own. The government doesn't regulate that. The company I work for doesn't regulate that.
Man, I don't like 401k.
Everybody I know who bought mutual funds back in the 60s and 70s have retired wealthy, and all they did was scrape together a couple $1,000s back then, put it into a mutual fund, and they retired with million-dollar portfolios.
Yeah, that was Reagan.
But also
remember
you
Reagan?
Have a lot of people who are in the lower middle class who don't have the financial education. They don't have the financial incentive to know what to do in terms of how to invest in the stock market as well.
Well, they could get a book that would tell them that online for $4.95. There's plenty of places on the Internet you get free investing information.
Yeah, but you remember
credit counseling right in your hometown for free, which is a federal program that would teach you how to save and do mortgages and insurances and everything. That's free from the government. There's plenty of the information's out there. It's what do you choose to focus on, and if you choose to focus on these stupid television shows like Survivor and all that, and that's why all this sports drama, this Roman arena with helmets and stuff, and that's why you need a $200 a month Comcast package or a $300 a month DirecTV package so you can watch sports and just numb yourself to the realities of your life. Yeah, that's what happens. You end up broke.
What happened to Reagan's IRA? That if you save $2,000 a year, after 20 years, you'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, if an 18-year-old kid an 18-year-old kid got a job, put $2,000 a year away into a Roth IRA. That's all, just $40 a week, and did it till he was age 30, and never put another penny in. And just invested it in the stock market in one-third of the top-performing mutual funds. So you didn't have to hit the elite, just be in the top third. You can do that with a dirt board. Pick three of them, you've hit one of them. At the age 70, you would have a portfolio, and this has been historically proven from 1924. We took 36-year and 40-year increments of time starting in 1924, then moved it ahead to the Great Depression, moved it through World War II, et cetera, et cetera. The portfolio is worth $15 million. Now, how many 70-year-olds right now in this country do you think would give a rat's patootie about the cost of health care if they had a private investment fund of $15 million?
But
they
hold
wouldn't
on,
care that a doctor
hold
visit
on,
cost $100.
I'm not so blind, Mike. I agree that did work, but within the last 20 years, since like 95 to now, that's not the case. A lot of people have lost their retirement. There are people that did exactly what you said.
They lost their retirement because when the market dropped in 2009, they sold out at the low price. They turned a paper fictitious loss into a real loss. Look where the market is today. Had they left their money in there, they would have recovered.
There were some people that got wiped completely out, though. Not
you
everybody.
Can't get wiped out. No. Not if you're owning mutual funds. You don't get completely wiped out. Nobody.
Well, see, that's the other side. That's the other side to the whole equation. You mentioned greed, but fear plays a part of it too.
Yeah.
Greed and fear are the two things that plays a part. Plays
right.
Equates in the equation when it comes
and
down
ignorance,
to doing
and ignorance.
Stocks.
Ignorance, fear born.
Well, I don't even fool with the stock market. It's too. I don't like it.
Well, I'm scared of it. Too high.
And most people have to have a broker to actually go along
and brokers
with
charge fees
to help
you
them to invest.
Have to
they
have
can't
a broker.
Do it
you
on
can
their
open
own.
Up an online account with $25 with any of the direct companies like Scottrade or Ameritrade or anything. For $25, you can open an account and be your own best broker and then do a little bit of reading. See, again, this is the urban myth of poverty.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying
it
is that a lot of people don't have the financial wherewithal or the financial know-how to actually know how to go into the stock market and invest. They have to do it through a broker.
No,
that's
they
the majority
don't. They don't have to do it through a broker. There's plenty of online.
Well, the ones that don't know how to do it would have to do it through.
Yeah,
I have no problem
ignorant about the stock market.
Here's,
none.
Here's
and
what
that's
they
why
do
I don't
it through.
It.
Here's what they do it through. They go to their local church, and they ask the pastor to put a financial seminar in there. There's plenty of Christian ministries and Jewish ministries and stuff, and Mormon ministries that teach this kind of stuff for free at churches. And they give you all the materials there.
Well, I used to teach stocks and options for free, too. But, you know, you got a lot of people that just can't do that on their own.
I know. Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah, they want to be handheld. Well, then get a family member who's the smart one.
Is Wade Cook still around?
Pardon?
Is Wade Cook still around?
I don't know. But I know a lot of his proteges are still around. Guys like Dave Ramsey and everybody else teaching this stuff, you know, what they learned. People who were bankrupt 20 years ago in Alabama. People who were bankrupt 20 years ago today are multimillionaires because they got their lives in order. Never earned all that much.
What I was trying to say, Mike, was that I don't feel like if you're ignorant on an industry, you can educate yourself, but I already have a certain amount of knowledge in real estate, which I like better, actually. So I'd rather do real estate. That's just my personal opinion than deal with the stock market.
That's what Wade Cook started off in. You know what his motto was? Don't buy nothing today. You can't sell by next Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Here's something that every person from the day they're born, okay, it's a four-sentence word, and everybody needs to learn this. And anybody who's successful on this line, you already know it, and it's so ingrained in your being, you probably don't even remember you know it. Whatever you need to go into your warm market, your center of influence, and start asking one question, who do you know? And then finish the rest of the question. Because you know somebody who has the answer to your question. Alabama, you do it all the time. Bianchi, you must have. I don't doubt for a minute that you know how to network. We should be teaching our children how to network.
Yeah, that's very important in business. That's what it's
all
about.
And in personal life,
who
do you know that sells cheap life insurance? Who do you know gets a better deal on their telephone? Who do you know that gets better car insurance? Where's the best place to buy a car where you won't get screwed in the inner city? It's the same question over and over again. Go to your network.
Well, that's why a lot of minorities who are lower middle class, they don't get into small business because they don't have those contacts. They don't have that network in place.
But
it's
difficult. No, that's not true. I had none. I was raised poor. I started asking the question.
Right.
I asked the people that gave me my first job cleaning up, sweeping the floor, and I began to – it's a network. You start asking your teachers in school a question scenario. It's something that becomes ingrained in your being. You see, the blessing you have is you're not
blind. But it's
blind.
Also a psychology.
See, if you were blind from birth like I was, you'd have to ask somebody where the bus stop is.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask them where the Cheerios
are
in the grocery store.
You got more nerves than I do. I've seen blind people walk around
different psychology in place.
I've seen blind people walk around across streets with a cane. Nowhere in the world I don't think I could do that. But I'm going to tell you this one thing.
I don't do it.
Poor people that's out there on welfare and so on and so on, those folks are highly intelligent.
Yeah.
Try to get in that and maneuver your way around in that system. It would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
They know the ins. They know the outs. They know how
to
survive off that system.
It's extremely hard to get unemployment. You got to be very resilient to get it. It's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and to get on SSI and all that, man, you got to know you're not stupid. And you know what?
Certain types of SSI, if you're able to get a medical doctor to sign off on it, you know, you can get it very easily. There's a lot of people that get it. I don't know how intelligent they are, but they're able to get a medical doctor to say they have some type of mental problem, or they can go to a medical doctor to say they have a physical ailment and they can't work. And there's all types of law firms that will assist those individuals as well.
I have a friend.
So you definitely have a system in place to place people on disability.
I have
and
a friend.
To place people on the government roles. There's a whole system in place to help people get on it.
Yeah, but to answer Bianchi, or to reinforce what Bianchi said about some of these people, how smart they are. I have a friend of mine who's a psychologist. He's elderly now. He's in his 70s. But for many years, he worked in the prison system trying to understand the criminal mind. And he said it was absolutely scary how brilliant they were. These kids, young kids, drug gang members and everything else, he said they had skills that would rival CEOs when it came to organization. It's too bad they went down the criminal road. They were brilliant people, how they could organize supply, demand, scheduling, security, everything. I mean, he said they were absolutely brilliant, smarter than the Fortune 500 CEOs, many of whom he interviewed. So you're right.
That's
Matthew.
True.
Those people are smart. They're not stupid. Just got to teach them that one skill. Who do you know? Don't do anything until you check it out with somebody who has first-hand experience dealing with what you're looking for. That's how they get on the SSI. If somebody says twice to them, hey, here's what you got to do, and they teach them step by step, it's the same thing.
But that's what I'm saying is there's a system in place. That there's law firms that specialize in getting people on disability.
Yeah.
I mean, you have doctors practically all over the city who will sign off on disability claims to get people on SSI.
Yeah, they do, and they make a lot of money.
Yeah, they make a lot of money doing it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I hired one of them one time many, many years ago from my wife when they were denying her claim when she couldn't walk. And her legs totally failed, and she was in a wheelchair. And for 4.5 years, our government denied her claim, saying she was too educated with her medical background to be disabled. The fact that she couldn't stand without falling, and that nobody would hire her because she was a security risk. Because
what was her diagnosis?
RSD.
Responsive
sympathetic dystrophy. It is the equivalent, you feel excruciating pain like your legs were just run over by a train. It's what they, during the Civil War, they used to call phantom pain, where a guy would have a leg shot off and he'd swear to God he could still feel the pain of the leg.
Yeah.
You know? And you could still feel the leg because your brain is still receiving the nerve signal even though the leg is gone. Well, in my wife's case, her legs aren't gone, but her brain is receiving signals as if the injury is still happening. And she will get up. And see, one of the things you do, if you lose a limb and it gets severed, your brain shuts off blood flow so you don't bleed to death. My wife will be walking, take a step. Her brain says, you don't have any legs, and shut them off, and she'll fall down like she was a puppet. And we had to go to one of those.
She still suffer from that?
Pardon?
She still suffer from that?
Yeah. Yeah. After 17 or 18 surgeries and all kinds of stuff they tried to do, they tried cutting the nerves to her legs, the pain would stop from her spine and everything else, and all it did was exacerbate the pain. But so we had to go to one of those insurance companies. This was 20-odd years ago, and in 6 months, they got her 4.5 years of disability benefits restored. After 4.5 years of our government, no matter what a doctor said or anything else, said she was too educated to be disabled for her medical degree. Yeah. So those companies aren't necessarily bad. They do perform service, you know, to people who genuinely are entitled.
I think the work and effort it takes to sit at home, you can figure out another way most of the time. Most, not all, but a lot of times. I've seen people go through hell and high water.
Yeah.
They get all day going through everything just to get a few $100s. I'm like, man, you could work one day a week and get the same amount of money the government pays you.
Let's talk about these Ebola patients. Where do you think this is going?
I think it's a problem for the government to bring the people over here, and I don't think the government knows enough about the transmission, whether it's transmitted through the air or not, because what can happen is these different types of pathogens, they can evolve in a very short period of time. So now it may be only transmitted through things like vomit or blood or saliva, but it may get to a stage where it gets to be resistant to different drugs and it can start to be transmitted by air. So
well,
it's a danger to bring people over here with that virus,
right,
with
the
that Ebola virus.
Right, but what the CDC claims is that the pathogen has not muted in over 100 years from what they've been studying about it. I think they're bringing them here because four U.S. pharmaceutical companies have what they believe are vaccines for this virus, and I think they need people to test them. And I think that's the
experimental
subject.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing that she had David Horowitz on, because you know what he's famous for, don't you? He wrote the books on Ebola and AIDS emerging viruses back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Hold on, though. I think these diseases, I bet you if you trace the history, you're going to find out somebody made it.
Somebody made
it in a lab.
Yeah. And what gets me is, have you noticed since the Ebola thing came on the news this past week, you notice they're really not talking about the border. and the thousands of people every day coming in this country with polio, with smallpox and TB and everything else. They're not talking about that anymore.
No.
You got something
well,
more scary
basically, I mean, when it comes to TB, it's a lot of TB that's crossing that Mexican border now. A lot
yeah.
of the people
well,
from Central America have TB and different things like a dengue fever.
Yeah.
They have different public health illnesses. They're crossing the border. They're bringing those things back into this country.
They did it with the tomatoes a while ago. They had a recall on tomatoes because something has something to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one of the strains of TB is drug resistant. We don't have anything
drug resistant
the border.
Right.
Well, I tell you, the things this government does, man, is just something else.
Yeah, where they should regulate, they don't, like our borders, and where they should, like even the hell alone so we could prosper, they get right in the middle of that because, they make you think they're doing something on your behalf when they're really not.
All you got to do is look at 9/11, you'll see what this government's about.
Well, if we can talk, that's what I argue about all the time. If we skeptical about 9/11, how you going to be pro-Iraq and Afghanistan war?
I'm not.
I ain't saying you, but I'm saying I hear people with that, you know, I heard people a couple of years ago saying, well, 9/11 was an inside job. Now today they're talking about, well, we shouldn't be leaving Iraq and Afghanistan. Come on, now.
Well, they're leaving Iraq and Afghanistan because they can't afford to be over there anymore. They spend too much money.
Well,
and they have to pull back because we're in
severe debt. Have you read the transcripts of what Obama said? Like, not Obama. Osama bin Laden. Right? Like, read his tape and what he said. Read the transcripts. He basically was like, these guys got ulterior motives. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Then later on, he came out and said it like 5 years later. He said he did it. It's a bunch of craziness, man.
I think the inconsistency in the people who feel a certain way about 9/11 and then feel another way about the wars and us pulling out, I think that lends itself to the total breakdown of the mental health system in the United States. There are obviously people who are schizophrenic. Or something, because how can you have two separate belief systems, you know? I want to be rich, but rich people are evil, you know? You know, it's the same mental machination.
Well, it's a certain kind of rich. It's just a certain kind of rich. Like, they want to be Beyonce rich.
Yeah.
They don't want to be they want to be Steve Jobs rich. Want to be Steve Jobs rich, but they don't want to be, you know, Walmart family rich.
Well, you know,
but what everybody should aim for is to be a member of the middle class. That's a reasonable goal for any family to strive for, to get out of the ghetto and get into a reasonable neighborhood where property values are fairly good and you're able to build a career. Most people who are American can get there.
Now everybody should strive to get Romney rich.
Well, maybe my aspirations are too high then, because I think so. I want it all.
In 2011, before the election, that year previous to the election, Mitt Romney's personal charitable giving, personally, were more than the combined number of all Democratic senators in the United States Congress, and throw in Joe Biden and President Obama along with them. And Mitt Romney personally donated more money than all of them put together to charity.
Well, most Republican conservatives, they give more money than liberals.
Yeah. Well, they've done charts on the state, and the bluer a state is, the less per capita goes toward charity. Their attitude is that the state will take care of them. The government's job to fix those kinds of social problems. Anyway, I got to get back to work here. Duty call. I got to go be a capitalist pig for a little more today. Everybody, take care.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care, everyone.
All right, Mike.
You know, my grandson applied to LSU, and I was looking at these other colleges. You know, he wants to go into gas petroleum engineering. But some of these colleges, man, they don't have no black students at all in these classes, and no black faculty members.
That's what I was trying to explain, is that affirmative action has basically, you know, by the Supreme Court going against affirmative action and trying to strike down any admission by race. If you look at the incoming class at a lot of the major universities, they only have like four or five black students. Like if you look at the schools over in California, if you're talking about a school like UCLA or some school like that, that school only admits like four or five black students now, in the whole incoming freshman class. And when it comes to the Ivy League, you know, most of the students who are minorities, they're Indians and Chinese in the Ivy League. You find very few African Americans in the Ivy League now. And so most black students, they end up going to state universities or they go to historically black colleges. So the opportunities are starting to diminish for blacks in higher education. And a lot of it is they may not have, you see, a lot of schools depend on those standardized exam scores. And see, blacks don't score well on those exams. And then a lot of them, they don't have the academic background to go into a lot of these major universities and do well. And I've heard people who were professors say, you know, who sat on admission committees, if they admitted a lot of the students from the inner city public schools into these major universities, they would end up flunking out after 1 year because they can't compete academically. Like if they put them in,
not prepared.
You know, if they
that's
put
the
them
reason
in
why
these majors like biochemistry or engineering or some type of biological science or something like that, they wouldn't be able to compete with these Asian kids. These Asian kids study all the time, you know.
But John,
and a lot
and
of the black
African
students
kids,
don't want to study
African,
like that.
Them kids from Africa outperform the Asians on these colleges now. But check this out. The reason why they don't compete, I'm talking about the American-born blacks.
Yeah.
It's because of the schools that they're coming from don't prepare them.
Right.
Majority of them coming from these public schools.
Public
look at
schools,
your historically, look at the historically black college. You only got what, five or six that have a graduation rate over 50% in 6 years. 6 years means you automatically gonna pay 50% more than the normal student would finishing in 4 years.
Well, also, you know, in terms of the preparation, I have a relative who went to a prep school like Sidwell Friends down in the D.C. area. It was that caliber of school. It was private, mostly the children of politicians and other business types in the D.C. area went there. You had to pay like $30,000 a year to go there. She was speaking French fluently in the seventh grade. They started teaching the kids foreign languages starting in like the fourth and fifth grade. So by the time they get to the eighth grade, most of the kids in those private prep school type systems, they are fluent in some other language other than their own. Then also the level of classes they take is so intense. So when she went to take the SAT, she got like a 1500 out of 1600 on the SAT. She was like in the 95th percentile. She could have gone
SAT
to any
is
college
SAT
in the country, huh?
SAT is the top school at 2,400 now.
Yeah, right. But back at the time they took it, the top score was 1,600. But she scored like a 1,500 something on it. She was like in the 95th percentile, and it was all because. And if you look at the public school average, say for a place like Philadelphia, the average may have been like 900 out of 1,600. That was the average score. And you would find even kids at the academic school, they wouldn't score more than 1,100 out of 1,600. So there's a definite difference in the preparation. I mean, the preparation makes a huge difference.
But, I mean, you look at places like Chicago and even Philadelphia and a lot of urban areas, these teachers' unions are overtly pro-teacher over student. So when you got that mentality, it's like, well, yeah, I actually saw a teacher say that, well, you know, you can't prove that I'm not a good teacher.
So don't try it. Like, they literally, like, you can't just test the student to see if they're a good teacher. They
right.
just, I mean, that's killing them. I mean, that's really
well, you have a lot
killing.
Of teachers that the education major is one of the lowest GPA majors on most college campuses. Most of the dumb students go into education. And as a result, you get a lot of teachers who really don't know the subject matter that they're teaching in, and the way the public school system is set up, you get tenure after 1 year of employment. You can't be fired. So you can put somebody in a neighborhood school who really is not a good teacher, and because they're dealing with kids that are low income and the local government really doesn't care about them, they'll let the teacher stay like for their whole career. And the person can be a terrible teacher, you know?
Well, I mean, it's my sister's a principal over in elementary, and they got awards, but she catches pure hell with these teachers. I mean, she does. She's almost gotten fights with teachers. It's just, and they, because they know they don't have to
right.
answer to her for real. So it's
right.
like, it's just, I don't know, man. When
they
come
basically
to,
need to change the whole system of a teacher's union needs to be abolished. They need to go with contracts.
How
the
hell you
don't
have a union
in the private
for teachers
sector.
Anyway?
People work off contracts.
How do you have a union for teachers? As long as you get your salary and you
yeah.
get to go home and nobody's treating you like a dirty dog, which most times you're teaching, nobody's going to really dog you. Why do you need, I mean, what else do you need? I mean, it's like, you're not working in a factory like around the 1600s when we really needed, I mean, not 1800s, like when we really needed the union. Now, why do you need a union against parents? And because it's basically anti-parent. And I don't know, I honestly, when you were just talking about the whole black colleges and universities, I honestly, in a long-term way, think that that's going to be good for black people. Because these black universities, it's just like before they got all the athletes back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
Before they started going to Alabama and all these big major schools, black college football and basketball was, you know, nonstop. I mean, unstoppable.
Yeah,
whereas
unstoppable.
Now, yeah, now it's like, you know, they get second-tier players.
Right.
But back then, you know, these were top-level black guys they were getting. And, you know, and I think now it's kind of like, the harder it gets to go to these schools, if a kid wants to get into college, they can go to college. They may not go to
right.
Harvard or Yale, but even if it's community college, you go to community college for 1 year, bump the ACT, you can make a 5 on it. But as
right.
long as you go to college and prove that you're capable of going to work and going to school and getting your work, you can go. I'm a living example because I sucked on the ACT. I mean, I was terrible. And I took calculus and AP biology. I took all that stuff in high school.
Mm.
But, I mean, where I'm from, I mean, if you make anything over 20, we consider you smart on ACT.
Right.
So that's just where I'm from. So a lot of black people don't really have those really real choices educationally.
Right.
So we got
to
take what we can with these
class,
universities.
You have to pay like $1,000 to take a Kaplan test prep. That's what a lot of the white kids take and the Asian kids. They go to Kaplan. Yeah, like if they don't do well, but you have to pay out like $1,500 or $2,000 to take those classes. Or
I actually took courses to speed up my graduation. I actually took, because I had transferred in, and they told me, look, just take I tested out of 3 classes. Just took a test. Because I had transferred 3 times, and every time you transfer, you know how it is when you play basketball. So I I was like, I don't want to go to school this last, you know, all this time. So I took a test and actually passed it. It was just basic stuff. You can actually test basic. You could test your first 2 years away if you really want to.
Right. Well. Also, as soon as you get there, they give you a placement exam to find out what math you would place in. Say if you went to one of the black schools,
okay.
They give the
Let's look at that, because that's exactly what happened to me. I was in high school. The counselor told me, well, you're not college material, right, because of my GPA, right? So I go to college. My first semester, we playing basketball. I get in there. They're like, okay, well, we don't need you to take a placement test. This is like community college. So I took the placement test and tested off the charts, not because I was, you know, because it was basic stuff. If you're coming into college think about it. If you took calculus and advanced biology and all this different stuff, and everybody else that's coming in took basic math, basic regular science that you took in the ninth grade, you're more advanced than these people. Not that you are the most intelligent person. You're just more advanced. So I tested very high, and they were like, okay, well, he doesn't need, because they looked at my transcript, and they was like, well, he's going to need remedial courses probably. Let's let him take a placement test. But then they were like, well, you got to look at what I was taking too. Yeah, I got a D or a C, but I was taking calculus. So that's way more advanced than 3X equals 18.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's just real, you know. That's the thing that a lot of people, when you take those advanced courses, that's what you get. So that's something I think I benefited from taking those advanced courses. And it helped me when I got to college. I actually skipped taking those 090 classes, which is what a lot of other my counterparts had to take.
Well, see, a lot of the black students in the inner city public schools, they don't have AP courses at their schools. So they don't even have an opportunity to take anything like that. And most of them, their highest level of math is usually Algebra 2 or trigonometry. They may be able to do that if they get some coaching. But when it comes to calculus, some public schools don't even offer calculus. You have to go to a community college to take calculus. So that's the problem. The public school system does not really educate these black kids in these inner cities, and that's the reason why, you know, they're not well prepared to go into the top-tier colleges, and their numbers in the top-tier colleges is falling off dramatically.
I agree, but this is the thing. I think if a kid goes to Tuskegee or Morehouse instead of going to, you know, Yale or UCLA, I think it doesn't make a difference. I think as long as you get your education, because right now I work with a female. She's from MIT. I work with this other girl. She went to LSU, but she made like a 34 on the ACT. She's a genius. And here I am, made a 14, sitting right next to him making the same amount of money and from a black college. So it doesn't, you know, to me it doesn't really, I don't think it really makes a difference. It makes a difference when you first get out of college where you went. But in the grand scheme of things, like my niece, she made a 26, 27 on ACT, cried like a baby because she couldn't get into Alabama and Auburn. She got in, but they didn't give her a full ride. They gave her like 50%. So she couldn't go to Alabama and Auburn because my brother sent her to this predominantly white school, paid $1,000 a month for her to go there. She's at Alabama State, doing very well, just got back, and she's actually leaving tomorrow to go back on another internship to Google. She just left Google last week. She's a Google ambassador, real intelligent. But she's at Alabama State University, predominantly black school. She's doing well. And she's going to get a job. That's all that really matters. People, I don't care. But, you know, to me, I don't care what my – it could be from Phoenix Online University, as long as I can get a job.
But that's the problem. That's what I was trying to tell some of the people. I know of people who have come out of the D.C. area. They came out of University of Maryland, University of Virginia, Georgetown. They had science degrees. But when they looked at the job market in Boston, New York, Philadelphia, they had a very hard time trying to penetrate it if they were African Americans, and they had a hard time trying to get an interview. And when they looked at
who
these companies were hiring, the majority of them were hiring East Indians and Chinese.
Check this out right here, though, Philly. To be completely honest with you, I couldn't get a job. I got a business information systems degree. I couldn't get a job in IT. I had to go and take a remedial, not remedial, but like a IT level course that taught about certification in order for me to even walk in here and be able to talk to these people to get a job. You got to, you know, getting a bachelor's degree is just a foot in the door. You're not, and most people, you may luck up once a month. You may see something online. We're looking for someone fresh out of college. Most of the time, fresh out of college with just a bachelor's and a few internships, it's not going to get you a job. You're going to have to, I hate to say it, you're going to have to basically almost lie to get a job. I mean, which is what I had to do when I first got started in the parking lot. But, you know what I'm saying, that's what I had to do. I lied. I basically had somebody say that I worked for them that I knew, a friend of mine, and we just basically made it up as they went. I said, look, when they call you, tell them I did this. Because it fits the job description. You know, I had to do that. Then I finally got a job. Now it's whatever. But back then, first getting started off the street, you know, you're going to have to just
you know, get it where you get in where you fit in. And most college students coming out aren't prepared like that.
That the people that I know of, they have to go south. Like if they're from Boston or New York or Philadelphia and they have degrees in computer science or any type of other type of science and they want to get that first job, they have to go to places like Charlotte, Atlanta, down in Texas. They have to go south to get it. And
well, from what I'm hearing, most black people in the South,
that particular region, they only want to take foreigners. They only want to take Chinese and East Indian and people like that, people from the Middle East. They prefer to take them.
Where?
Well, I'm talking about places like in terms of, like if you're looking at pharmaceutical companies, biotechnology companies, engineering firms, you know, like if you're looking at, like different places like deal with architectural firms, people who have those type of degrees. If you look from what I've heard, that if they come from the Northeast, meaning that they're from that region, they have to go south to get that first real job. And if they are on that job, say they get a job down in Charlotte, they apply down in Charlotte or Atlanta, it's easier for them to get hired down there than it is to get hired up here. If they've been working down in Charlotte or Atlanta for 2 or 3 years and they have a proven track record with a company in those type of cities, then they can get hired back up north.
But see, the one thing I've noticed, like in IT, for example, with these Indians, they'll get in. They ain't going to show you too much love. You come in on an interview and they ask you a question and you stumble a little bit. Just go ahead and keep looking for another job, even though you may answer all the other questions. I've seen people not giving me jobs just for little bitty small stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to them, they're, you know, and then a lot of them, what they do, they lie on their resumes too. They lie on their resumes.
Yeah.
Then they come in, they get in, they claim they graduated from some university in India when really all they did was take some sort of, I had them tell me this, took some little course. And they jump straight out the gate making $50, $60 an hour. I got 5 years experience, 6 years. You don't got no experience. You just know how to – you just practice on your little computer at your house over in India. Got your visa. Accent so thick they can't even speak, but they stick together. They get over here and they hire Indians.
Right.
You hire one of them in your IT department and they say it's growing and expanding. You come back in 7 years, it's all Indian.
Right.
They have taken – and see, black people don't know – because we speak proper English, we can really come over here and take over the IT. We could take over the IT field if we just know about it. Most black folks don't even know
how much money it takes.
They don't know you can make certain sizable amounts of money in IT if you just take the time and effort. And it's not – you don't have to go to doctor school or be a doctor, I mean medical school.
No.
It don't take all those years. You can have an associate's. But the majority of black people consider that to be nerd type jobs,
and they're not interested in that. You know, a lot of black people consider, like if somebody wants to study computers, they call that person a nerd, or you want to act white or whatever. You know, don't want to do that.
But this is the thing. I had a guy tell me this. This guy's done near 40. Told me this. You know, he a preacher. Talking about God called popular people to preach instead of lame people. He's still thinking like we in school and it's 1992 or something. The problem, you know, I told him, I said, man, look, nerds, people that can read and count and type and know how to type, they rule the world. They sign the front of checks. They don't sign the back.
Yeah.
So don't just, you know, I mean, when you know, and I hate to say it, it's our culture as far as hip-hop and ignorance has really been glorified, but call me lame, call me a nerd. Call me whatever. But whatever you can get, I can get. If you think you're better than me because you can get more, I can get women too. I don't consider myself a nerd at all. I think I'm okay. I don't think I'm super intelligent. I don't think I'm stupid either. But at the same time, if you know how to learn, then you can accomplish anything. And I just think that people, when it comes to blacks, especially the popular in crowd type thinking black people, they got it all mixed up. That you're not going to get nowhere. You know how many cool people I know that I went to school with that everybody wanted to be like that are running around here tonight and beat up cars, working at factories, making $12 an hour, can't even pay their bills, 5 kids, struggling, living a horrible life,
And they'll tell me, I wish I did what you did. I wish I had, you know. I'm like, you know.
But see, what's happening here is blacks normally, if they couldn't, you know, if they weren't educated, they could get a job at the factory or work in construction or being a janitor or something of that nature, and they can make a decent living doing that. But now the Hispanics are moving in on those jobs. So what's happening, a lot of black men are completely shut out if they're not driving the bus or they're not working for the city as a clerk or something.
We've had
or working
that
for the water department. They're not working. So therefore, you have a lot of black men that turn into crime now.
But you have the entrepreneurial spirit beating out of black men. There was a time back in the day where if you didn't see a job, you created your own. But I don't care if it's pushing a lawnmower. Now,
yeah.
I got friends right now, guys I know, that are able-bodied, that sit around all day, every day. All they do is chase ass. That's it. They want to sleep with women. They get motivated for that. But I got a friend of mine right now. Girl gave him $8,000. Some chick he was sleeping with. I don't know why she did what she gave. She only got 50. Gave him 8,000. He went and bought a car, bought some clothes. And I said, man, look, if you're going to buy a car, put a trailer hitch on the back of it. Buy you a little cheap, you know, $600 trailer. Put your water tank on it and a pressure washer and start washing cars. At least you can have your own job so you won't be struggling for money. Did he listen? Of course not.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing.
It's
a subculture. It's a street subculture that's out here now. And if they're not working, a lot of black men, if they're not working blue-collar jobs because they haven't been to college and they're being shut out of that, they're going directly to the street corner. And that's the reason why the crime rate in the Northeast is high. And these guys are shooting children. I mean, they're carjacking cars. They just had an incident here where a black guy carjacked a woman, assaulted her in the car, and ran over, like, three kids that were standing on the corner trying to sell fruit for their church. Ran over and killed three kids. So the crime rate is really getting out of hand, and it's because the black economy is starting to crumble. The public school systems are falling apart. Because they can't raise money to keep the teachers employed, to keep the doors open. The state is saying they don't have the money because they have to deal with the state pension fund. They can't give them the money. So, you know, either the blacks in these northern cities are going to have to come out of these places and go back down south and try to invent some jobs for them down there because they don't have the jobs up here for them.